two hashmatas from last time I was talking to Rav David. It's always a very difficult balance between finding the rules here and the examples. There are a million possible examples for all of these rules, but just two examples which might not have been as obvious to everyone is a practical example of what we gave last time, which is happens a lot, is if a person is a cholish ein bo sakana, so we mentioned what type of isurim is he allowed to be over on. So most poskim at least held gzeros midrabanan are allowed. So because of that, some held it even more expansive based on the chayyadim. But even if it's just gzeros, so it should come out that if a person is a cholish ein bo sakana and he needs medication on Shabbos, so you'd be allowed to walk into a store and buy the medication. There's no heter to take the change. But at least to buy the medication, you're talking about Tilta Muksa, which probably is Mutter for Chol Hashem Bo Zakana, entering a store, which is Uvda Dechol, and doing business, which is Mekach Umemkar, Zigzer Hashem Yichtav. So all of these things should be allowed for Chol Hashem Bo Zakana. Certainly, though, which is a more common case, if it's a pharmacy wants to deliver medication on Shabbos, and a person is a Chol Hashem Bo Zakana, and they don't have time before Shabbos to go pick it up, or it's not a possibility, that would certainly be allowed. If you could get an Achri to do it, Nach Besser, it's a little bit better. But if not, so certainly be allowed. The other example, which comes up pretty often, is if a person, let's say, goes to the hospital for a false alarm on Shabbos. Say his wife is in labor, they think she's in labor, she turns out she's not in labor. Are you stuck there the rest of Shabbos? So the pashup shot is that a pregnant woman, at least, is a chayla she'ein bo sakana. She's a chayla, but she's not in a life-threatening situation. So it would be mutter for her to take a taxi back. We are meiko, amir lenachri, because of a chayla she'ein bo sakana. That's a mishnah in Shabbos. So she could take a taxi back. Once she's taking a taxi back, so the husband could come back with her, not only because he's the one who's taking care of her, probably there's no additional iser we mentioned last time for him to go in the car. So he could take the taxi back. Or if they have other kids at home, let's say everyone's fine, had a scare. Or let's say a kid gets stitches on Shabbos, and you finally got through all the hoops with the stitches. Can you go home Friday night? Let's say a kid fell Friday night, can you come home? So pashup shot is, the kid is a chayla she'ein bo sakana. He's still not functioning normally because he has this big stitches now. So he needs to get home. So he's allowed to take a taxi home. Once he's taking a taxi home, you're the one who takes care of him. So you're allowed to come home with him too. Or you have other kids at home. You left your kids. You ran out to the hospital. You left your kids with somebody else. You're really your kid's primary caretaker. The kids are a chol hashem bo sakana. So if you apply all the different rules that we had last time, the pashup shot is he come home from the hospital in most situations. Yeah.
The reason he come up from the hospital was because it's sakana for a man in the hospital?
No, it's not a sakana. It's a chol hashem. You're going to wait in the hospital room. They're not going to give you a free hotel room. They're going to let you wait in the waiting room. Your wife just had a false alarm. She's probably not feeling that great. So, right. So she's a chol hashem bo sakana.
But even if they would give you a room, with a greater chance of...
They're not going to. It's not an if. It doesn't happen. If it's a half an hour till Shabbos is over, I don't think it's a mitzvah to get a taxi. Everyone can sit there 15 minutes, hang out, half an hour, hang out. But if someone needs to go home, either because they are chol hashem bo sakana, or you left other kids at home who we all award the status of chol hashem bo sakana, certainly if their parents aren't around, they're not going to behave as well, and whatever, to be difficult for others, that's not takal kal tchila. That's not Rav Shlomo Zalman's takal kal tchila. So then it should all be definitely room to be made. And that is most people come home from the hospital early on Shabbos. Yeah.
I just don't understand, why is a pregnant woman automatically,
she's not feeling that well. So for her to...
pregnancy is the whole issue?
No, but if she went in for false labor, pashup shot, she's not feeling that well. So then for her to come home, she had to wait in a waiting room for 16 hours, isn't that great? Again, if it's half an hour, it's a half an hour. But she waits in the waiting room by the doctor all the time. But here, it's probably not. So let's start Amir Lanachri. Is there ever, we presume that Amir Lanachri is always in Issa Midrabanan. Is there ever a situation where Amir Lanachri would be Midaraisa? So there is a Mechilta Darashbi on the Pasuk in Parshas Bo, Kol Malacha Lo Yayasebohem, that no Malacha should be done. Sounds like that it's you're not the one who's doing the Malacha, and still there's an Issa. So the Mechilta comment, Tu Adin Shal Yase Goy Malach Techa. Not only is a Jew not allowed to do the Malacha, a Goy is not allowed to do a Malacha for the Jew. That Pasuk is talking about Yom Tif. But we can make a Kal V'Chomer from Yom Tif to Shabbos. So the Smag, quoted by the Beis Yosef, we're going to basically follow the order of the Marmar Komos in the binder. So you could use that as a guidepost. So the Smag, though, which is quoted by the Beis Yosef, has a suffix, is the Pasuk here mean to imply that there is a Amir Lanachri is in Yisra Midaraisa. The Beis Yosef writes that clearly we assume it's an Asmachta, but that possibility is opened by the Smag. Rashi on Chumash also comments on that pasuk in Parshas Bo, Kol Malacha Lo Yasebahem, that he applies even if it's through an Achri, you would be have an Iser. So the Ramban on Chumash there already pounces on Rashi and says it can't be that that is the pashup shot in the pasuk. It's an Asmachta. doesn't mean to say that it's a real isa midaraisa of Amir Olanochi. This is all quoted by the Sharatzion and some Erejim Mem Gimos of Kotan Zion, that there is an asmachta midaraisa for the isa of Amir Olanochi, but we presume, of course, that it is an isa midarabonon to ask Olanochi to do malacha for you on Shabbos. The Malbim on Chumash, on that pasuk in Parshas Bo, has a fascinating comment that he adds, why was it necessary to have an asmachta? If the whole isa of Amir Olanochi is only midarabonon, why do we have an asmachta? And he formulates a fantastic idea, which is based on the famous Taz, that I think is the Taz is this idea in Yoredeia and in Or HaChaim, maybe elsewhere also, that we're not allowed to make a gzera, Chazal not allowed to make a gzera if it goes against an explicit pasuk in the Chumash. He has it in a few places. So Sotah over here, since there are explicit psukim which imply that Nachrim are allowed to do malacha on Shabbos, they don't have the mitzvah Shmir Shabbos, so they needed an asmachta, they needed a Pesach, an opening, in order to make this gzera that it shouldn't be against all of the explicit psukim. So because of this asmachta, Chazal had a Pesach to make the gzera of Amir Olanochi on Shabbos.
Meaning that
I'm sorry?
I mean, is that a general principle or just in this case? Like, once you have an asmachta, this is no longer a problem.
So then it's no longer, I don't know, we have to investigate the Taz, but you're saying throughout all of Shah, we'd have to do an exhaustive search. I thought it was an interesting Shah. There is perhaps one scenario where Amir Olanochi is midaraisa, and that's based on the pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim of Laman Yanuach Shach Vechamach Vinafesh Ben Amascha Vahager. Who is the ger that's mentioned in that pasuk? So the Gemara says in Maseches Yevamos, this does not refer to a ger tzedek, he's a Yisrael mamish. Rather, the Gemara says in Maseches Yevamos that it refers to a ger toishav. A nachri was accepted to keep all of the Sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach, you're not allowed to ask him to do malacha for you, midaraisa. Is an isav amir l'nachri, midaraisa. Rashi there on Maseches Yevamos says that it means the ger toishav is obligated to keep Shabbos midaraisa himself. So Tosus in Maseches Yevamos doesn't like this. He says it's not one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Ger Toshav means he accepts to keep the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. One of them is not Shabbos. So Tosus says he thinks what the Gemara means in Maseches Yevamos when it says that the Pasuk V'nafesh V'namaschav V'hager refers to Ger Toshav doesn't mean that the Ger Toshav is obligated to keep Shabbos. It means that there's an Iser of Amir L'Nachri Midaraisa with regards to a Ger Toshav. So you say, well, how does this come up? So if you're familiar with it's a possibility, it's an interesting possibility, food for thought. If you're familiar with the Heter Mechira, so one of the main prongs of the of cooks, Heter Mechira, with regards to working the land during the Shnas HaShmita, was that the religious Arabs have the status of Gerei Toshav, because the first hurdle of the Heter Mechira is that you have to sell land to a Nachri in Eretz Yisrael. We're generally not allowed to do that. It's a violation of the Pasuk of Lois Sechonen. You're not allowed to sell karka to them in Eretz Yisrael. But if he's a ger toshav, you are allowed to sell to him. So Rav Kook's, one of his main parts of his Heter Mechira was to assume that the Arabs nowadays have the status of gerei toshav. Chazon Ish disagreed for a whole variety of reasons, but that was Rav Kook's Heter. So if you take Rav Kook's Heter l'chumra, it might come out that there's an is of Amir l'nachri to a religious Arab. So then you can't have an Arab be the Shabbos guy in the shul. Because there's an issue of Amir Olanochi midaraisa with regards to a ger toshav. Rav Kook was already aware of this, and he tries to distinguish between the Heter Mechira and Amir Olanochi, that there's two dinim, but at least the possibility in theory exists that there could be an issue midaraisa of Amir Olanochi to a religious Arab. But of course, as we mentioned earlier, Amir Olanochi is generally assumed to be an issue midarabanan. Why did they make such an issue midarabanan? So there are three reasons that are mentioned by the Rishonim. The Rambam's opinion is that the reason why there's an issa of Amir Olanochi is because you might come to do it yourself. If we allow you to ask a Nochri to do a malacha, so you say, wow, this is convenient, and then you might get so used to having the malacha done that you might come to do it yourself. Rashi, in two different places in Shas, brings up two separate reasons. Rashi, Maseches Avodah Zarah, says the reason is because of V'daber Dover. That Pasuk in Yeshaya, M'tzoy Chafetzecha V'daber Dover, that the way of Mechabit Shabbos is by regulating our speech. We're not supposed to discuss malacha explicitly on Shabbos. So if you ask a Nachri to turn on a light, you just discuss doing a malacha. So it's a violation of that. Rashi Maseches Bar Mitzia says, no, it's an Iser, not because of Vedaber Dover, but because Yesh Shlichus La'akum L'chumra. Even though, generally speaking, a Nachri cannot be a Shaliach, but at least l'chumra midrabanan, the isav Amir l'nachri is based on the idea that we treat the nachri like he's your shaliach in doing the malacha. So if you ask him to turn on the light, it's like midrabanan, you turned on the light. That's the nature of the Yisuf Amir Wanachri. So Rashi, the Rambam has his reason. You might come to do it yourself. Rashi and Avodah Zarah says it's Vedaber Dover, and Rashi and Bava Metzia says it's because Yesh Shlichus La'akum L'chumra. Because of these two reasons of Rashi, so all of the Achronim almost, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav and the Avnei Nezer, the Stipler has a piece about this, all say that Rashi gives two reasons, not because he's contradicting himself or he's being inconsistent, but rather in order to include two different scenarios. Rashi wants to include within the Yisuf Amir Wanachri asking a Nachri during the week to do something on Shabbos, and asking the Nachri on Shabbos to do something during the week. Because of the reason of Yesh Shlichus La'akum L'chumra, so I'm not even allowed to ask a Nachri on Tuesday to turn the light on for me on Shabbos. There's no Vedaber Dover. I didn't say anything on Shabbos that I'm not allowed to talk about. Yeah, but I asked him to do it on Tuesday. When he does it, it's like he's my Shaliach. So even though I asked him on Tuesday, it would still be Yosef. And then because of the reason Vedaber Dovar, the Achronim say, so even if I ask the guy on Shabbos to turn a light on Tuesday, I've also violated the Yisr of Amir Lenachri. Because I spoke about Malachos on Shabbos, even though he's not going to do it until Tuesday, but it's not a violation of Yesh Shlichus L'chumra, but it would be a violation of Vedaber Dovar. So that's why Rashi has all of these reasons. The Avnei Nezer quotes from the Agos Maimonides that he seems to also subscribe to this idea that the reason why the Yisuf Amir Lenachri is because Yesh Shlichus L'chumra. While the Agos Maimonides is discussing a case of a person who gives a Nachri money during the week and he tells him to buy something for him on Shabbos. So Agos Maimonides says you're not allowed to do that. So the Avnei Nezer says, oh, you see from here he holds it's because of Yesh Shlichus L'chumra. I'm giving him money on Tuesday to go buy me something on Shabbos. So I didn't discuss Malachas on Shabbos. Must be it's because Yesh Shlichus La'akum L'chumra. However, and so there's one more Rishon who agrees with that opinion in Rashi. It's not that significant. However, Rav Shechter in the Sefer Eretz HaTzvi suggests that perhaps the Hagos Maimonides is hinting to a totally different topic, which is really much larger and more significant. And that is, it could be that there's a whole genre of Isurim where it doesn't make a difference the fact that you're asking a Nachri or you're doing it yourself, you violate it just the same. We discuss this when it comes to Hachazara on Shabbos, Shehiya on Shabbos, that there's a whole category of Yisurim that are Yisurei Matzav. It's because of a situation. So it could be what the Agos Maimonides is telling us is the fact that you asked the Nachri, you gave the Nachri money to buy something for you on Shabbos, that doesn't lower the level of the Yisur. It's like you're buying it yourself. Why? Because the whole Yisur of Mekach Umemkar, of not doing business on Shabbos, is because of Gzeir Shem Yichlev, you might come to write it down. So it could be what the Agos Maimonides means is that it makes no difference who's contracting the sale physically. If a sale is contracted on my behalf, so it could be I'll violate the Yisur of Mekach Umemkar, even though I didn't engage in the physical sale myself. The fact that a Nachri is doing it for me doesn't make a difference. I might come to write it down in my ledger. For example, Rabbi Kiva Eger has the following shaila in Yonah D'Yoma regarding Mechiras Chametz. When Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, so we have a problem. When do you do the Mechiras Chametz? Because you can't do the sale on Shabbos. So Rabbi Kiva Eger has an interesting suggestion. He suggests, let's make the sale on Friday, that it shouldn't be chal, it shouldn't take effect until Shabbos. So Rabbi Kiva Eger writes that that's also not allowed. Why is that not allowed? So Rabbi Kiva Eger argues because the Yisur of Mekach Umemkar is not to physically engage in the sale. The Yisur of Mekach Umemkar is not to have a sale done on my behalf. A chalois kinyan. Once it's a chalois kinyan, I might come to write. See, even though the sale was contracted on Friday, but if it's not chal, it doesn't take effect until Shabbos now, so then it could be we'll have a problem of Mekach Umemkar, because I might come to write on Shabbos once the sale takes effect. So to over here, it could be what the Agos Maimonides is telling us is that it makes no difference who's contracting the sale. Even if a Nachri contracts it for you, you've still violated the Yisur of Mekach Umemkar yourself. I thought that's why, yeah.
I simply want to say with Kula that you could do a Mechira on Shabbos that should be Chal on Sunday.
Well, you're handling money.
It's with Mechira coming.
How do you make a Mechira? You're doing...
With a...
A Sudar. Yeah. That's not also on Shabbos? I don't know. They use money too. So
the Sudar is not the Kenyan. The Sudar is the...
Yeah. I thought that's why people do this. They have a Nachri comes to the house on Shabbos. There's always a problem. When do you pay them? So if you have a relationship, you pay them they come to your house all the time. So you pay them the next day that they're there. But if you have someone who comes just for Shabbos, they're going to want to be paid. They're not going to want to leave without the money. How do you pay them on Shabbos? So some people think, well, if you put the money on a little plate, you know, in the kitchen, and you tell the Nafi, when you're done, you could take it. But you don't touch anything on Shabbos, nothing. It's just sitting on the plate over there. That's okay. I'm telling this mom that this goes on. Ma'izim b'chol yom. So I thought that's the same problem here. Even though I'm not handling the money is a separate problem, these are muksa. I'm not even sure this is not a ma'isa mekachu memkar. Because even though you're not handling the money, but it's yours before Shabbos, and it becomes ice yours on Shabbos. But here, it's at least a chalois kinyan. At least doesn't become theirs until Shabbos, and then I might come to write it down. It's the same isa of mekachu memkar. The fact that the nachri is the one who's taking the money, I don't see really how that can help. Rav Shechter makes the same argument in the Eretz HaTzvi. He puts together a few Isur Midrabanan that it might not make a difference who's the one who's doing it. He quotes from the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah brings up the discussion, is one allowed to have a Nachri play a musical instrument for your bar mitzvah, you know, for your son's bar mitzvah on Shabbos? So what should be the Heter? The Heter might be because playing musical instruments on Shabbos, if it's not electric, is only Midrabanan. Maybe it will break and you might come to fix it. Gzeir Hashem Yisak and Klishia. That's one Midrabanan. And then you have ask a Nachri to play it. So that's a second Rabbanon. So you have a Heter, Shvus to Shvus, B'makam, the mitzvah of Simchas Bar Mitzvah. I'm enjoying the Bar Mitzvah. So there'd be a Shvus to Shvus, B'makam Mitzvah. So Mishnah Berurah says, no, it doesn't work. You can't do that. Why not? So again, Rav Shechter argued it could be because the Issa of Gzeir Shami Yisak and Klishir has nothing to do with the one who's playing it. Once the musical instrument breaks, I might come to fix it, even though I'm not the one who's playing it. So again, it could be that is an Isur Matzav, an Isur because of the situation. We brought up the same discussion regarding, can you ask a Nachri to return food to a fire for you on Shabbos, to an uncovered flame? So Chazanish's opinion was that, again, there you have no het of Shvus to Shvus with Makom Mitzvah, to ask the Nachri to put food back on top of an uncovered flame, because even though the Nachri is the one who put the food on top of the uncovered flame, I might come to stoke the coals. So again, the Hagos Maimius could be tipping his hand to a whole group of Isurim. Not that he holds yesh shlichus lakum l'chumra, it could be that he's saying you can't contract the sale even before Shabbos, because once the sale takes effect on Shabbos, I might violate the Isur Mekachu Memkar either way. So the Nachri doesn't even lower to Shvus to Shvus, it would still remain the same Isur, which you would violate b'shev al tasa. There are some Isurim where Amir or Nachri might not help at all. There are some Isurim where if you ask a Nachri to do it, the whole Isur might not apply. It's not that it's a Shvus to Shvus. Most Isurim, Darais, if you ask the Nachri, it will be one Darabanan. If it's an Isurim Darabanan, it will be a Shvus to Shvus. There are some, though, Isurim, at least according to some Poskim, that when you ask the Nachri, it becomes Mutar Legamri. For example, the Shaar HaTzion. This is in the Mar Mekomos. The Shaar HaTzion quotes Machlokas Achronim with regards to Uvda Dechol. If I ask a Nachri to do something for me, which is not a Gzeira or Malachim in the Rabbanan, it's Asur on Shabbos because of Uvda Dechol. So some held that that's no different than any other Issa in the Rabbanan and would be a Shvus to Shvus. And others held, no, the whole Issa of Uvda Dechol is because I'm not acting in a Shabbosic way. It's a Tircha issue, whatever the issue of Uvda Dechol is. But that would not apply to a Nachri. So once you ask the Nachri doesn't have to be Shabbosic. So unless it's a formal Isur, like Zera or Malacha, that would apply to a Nachri, be a Shvus to Shvus. But here, once I ask the Nachri to do it, so then it becomes Heter Gomer. So one opinion the Mishnah Berurah was, that if it's an Isur, only a Vuv D'Dechol, and I ask the Nachri to do it, it should be allowed. This is what many presume to be the main issue with shoveling snow on Shabbos. Besides the Muksa issue, which might exist with snow or might not, but this is in Tshuva of the Leiv Avram, who writes that the main issue with shoveling snow is because it's tircha on Shabbos. It's a tircha to shovel. So you're not allowed to be tereach on Shabbos for no reason. That's the issue with shoveling snow. So many argue if you ask a Nachri to shovel the snow, that should be allowed. Why? Because again, the whole Easter is... Those who allow Nachrim to shovel on Shabbos are basing themselves on this. That the whole Easter is one of Uvda Dechol, if there is an Easter. And Uvda Dechol is mutter when it's Ayadei Amir or Nachri. Because he doesn't have to be Shabbistic. That's the two opinions though in the Shaar HaTzion. There's another similar Issa. The Prima Gadim in Hilchas Yom Tov has a suffix with regards to Hachana on Shabbos. To be Mechan from Shabbos to Chol. This year Rabbi Neuberger actually mentioned this. The Prima Gadim has a suffix in Hilchas Yom Tov. When I ask a Nachri, am I allowed to ask a Nachri to be Mechan from Shabbos to Chol? The whole Issa of Hachana, Rashi says on Mesechet Shabbos, is because of Tircha. I'm being Tereach on Shabbos for Chol. It's not right to be Tereach on Shabbos. But here, I'm not the one who's doing the Tircha. The Nachri is the one who's doing the Tircha. It's not a formal Isur, it's not a Gzeir or a Malach, it's an Isur of Tircha. So when I ask the Nachri, it could be that makes it Heter Gomer. So Mishnah Berurah, actually, in the Mar Mekomos, is machmir for this. Mishnah Berurah thinks there's no heter of hachana, but just by asking, that would be a shvus to shvus. But it's not mutter. However, the Marsham in the Das Torah allows it. Hachana from Shabbos to Chol is by asking an achri. It depends who you ask. The different parties can have different opinions. I asked Rabbi Wilg one year about this. He said, Chas v'shalom, hachana, nechri, zaser. But many hotels, you can never bring rides from hotels, but many caterers allow the Nachrim to set the table for Shabbos from a first day Yom Tov to a second day Yom Tov, or if they're having an event Motzei Shabbos, they'll clean up, they'll do lots of hachana issues. So it could be all that is allowed if you're paskin like the Marsham. I know even people who, when they're at their in-laws for Shabbos and there's a Nachri in the house, they'll ask the Nachri to pack their bags. And the minute after Shabbos is over, boom, they're out of there. They're out of there. Maybe that's a tzerich, I don't know. Mukkah mitzvah. Anyway. There's a third Yisr with this, third situation with this same concept might apply, and that is with regards to a psigreshe. The Ramah regarding sweeping the floor, the Ramah says if you have a dirt floor, you're not allowed to sweep the floor on Shabbos, it's a Gemara Mitzvah on Shabbos, because you might come to smooth out the inconsistencies in the dirt. We have to be choshish v'ashvuyeh gumos. You might smooth out the dirt. You're just trying to pick up the crumbs, but you might smooth the dirt out in the process, even though that's not what you intend for. It's an unintended result, but it's a psikresha. It's going to happen every time. So it's also the Ramah says, though, the one is allowed to ask a nachri to sweep the floor. Why? Since it's an unintended result, unintended results don't apply to amir l'nachri. Similarly, the Ramah says in Hilchas HaChazara, we learned this in Bishop, we didn't focus on it at the time, but the Ramah said, quotes from Metrumas Hadesh and Simeration Gimel, that if when you ask your nachri to heat up your furnace on Shabbos, and we said that's allowed, because HaKol Cholam Eitzaltzina, no one can function in the cold, so when you ask him to heat up the furnace by putting in the logs, you're allowed to put a chillin on top. If the cholent's there already, well, you're allowed to ask the nachri to heat up the furnace, and that will in turn heat up the cholent. Why? Because when he heats up the furnace, he doesn't intend for the cholent, he intends for the furnace. The cholent is an unintended result. And psik reshe, when it comes to amir l'nachri, that's with the Ramah, in both contexts, with regards to sweeping the floor and with regards to heating up the food, is telling us an unintended result is mutter when it has to do with amir l'nachri. So the Baruch Tam, and is on the Hagos to the Shulchan Aruch, explains the lomdus of the Ramah, which is that amir l'nachri applies to what I asked the nachri to do. I asked the nachri turn on the furnace. I asked the nachri sweep the floor. I didn't ask him to smooth out the floor. I didn't ask him to heat up the cholent. Amir l'nachri is an iser that iser he's my shaliach or it's v'daber davar. I neither spoke about a malacha, it was an unintended result, and neither did I appoint him to do that. It was also an unintended result. So since the iser of amir l'nachri argues the Baruch Tam only applies to what I ask him directly to do. Ancillary results or secondary results are not my
Is that
the
Malach Mashavis? Like
Malach Mashavis is for Darisis. I don't know if it applies to
Darisis.
Mir Anachrim and Kol Tokru. I don't know, it's beyond the scope. I don't know. That's the main heter. Ramesha says that's the main heter for if you forget to leave, turn off your light in the refrigerator on Shabbos, so you're allowed to, the best eitzah with regards to opening the refrigerator, so I'm talking about unplugging it, blah, 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 blah. Moshe says the best heter is to ask a nachri to open the refrigerator door. Because when you ask him to open the refrigerator door, I'm asking him to open the door. That's a davar with something which is mutter. And the fact that the light turns on, it's a psigreshe, but it's an unintended result of davar shenem eskabin. So then, that's the best heter for that. The Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. Huh? That's what Moshe has. There's lots of Eterium, but Moshe writes this is the best one. There's other Eterium, we're not talking about opening it. But Moshe writes that's the best answer.
Saying the best answer is to open it and just open it, not open it and take it.
He asked the Nachri to open it.
I'm saying as opposed to opening and taking a light bulb, that would be second.
I don't know what all the options are. When you investigate the topic of opening refrigerators, Moshe brings up this svar, same svar. That's what I want to point out. Is that it could have an application in that context. If you want to come up with a better answer, it's an answer. Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa brings this up also in a different context, which is with regards to if you have a nachri in the house and you want to ask her to wash the dishes. So she is going to wash the dishes in the hot water. Can I have to let her do that on her own? Can I ask her to wash it in the hot water? So Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa says, of course you can wash it in the hot water. You can even ask her to. Why? Because the whole problem with washing in the hot water is that new water is going to come into the boiler. When I take out the hot water from the boiler, cold water comes in and gets heated. But when people use the faucet, they're not thinking about the cold water that's coming in to the boiler and is going to get heated in its place. So that's also a davishen miskaven with a psig reishei. So when I ask you to use the hot water, there's no issur using the hot water that's already there. Most people in the hot water in their house, unless you have a really fancy system. Most people, the water is already hot when you're using it. So then that's mutter, and the fact that new cold water comes into the boiler is again a psig reishei. Okay, another situation where it could be there's no issur of amir anachri entirely, where if you ask anachri to do it, it might be entirely mutter, is based on the Shulchan Aruch over here, Simen Reish Mem Zayin, Siv Gimel. With regards, this is a big topic. With regards to, if I ask anachri to do something which he could have done in a mutter way, the Shulchan Aruch says I'm allowed to give something to anachri to do during the week. I give my dry cleaning during the week. He decides to do it on Shabbos. So is that an issur of amir anachri? So the Shulchan Aruch says no. Because that is a daite de nafshe of it. He decided to do it like that, but I didn't ask him to do it. So as long as I don't ask him to do the iser, meaning I'm asking him to do something that could be done in a mutter way and an iser way. He could either do the dry cleaning on Shabbos or do it during the week. So then that's not my problem if he does it in an iser way. That's a daite de nafshe of it. The Kaf HaChayim quotes from the Mari Kash that they used to have the minig in Mitzrayim to ask the Nachri to wash the floor on Shabbos. Why? Because they could have done it, says the Kaf HaChayim, with a squeegee. In Eretz Yisrael, a lot of people wash the floor not with a mop, with a squeegee. So since you could wash the floor with a squeegee, even if the Nachri, you can't ask her to use the mop. You can ask her to use the wash the floor. There's a squeegee there and a mop. She decides to use the mop instead of the squeegee. That's up to her. I didn't ask her to do that. I asked her to wash the floor. So since there's a heter way to do it, and she decides to do it with an iser, that's a diet to nafshei oven. It's not my problem. Similarly, a guy, let's say, lives, this happens all the time. People live over here in Manhattan. If you live in Manhattan, a lot of the nicer buildings at least have a doorman. Something unheard of in the Heights, but elsewhere in Manhattan it happens. They have a doorman that buzzes you in. So, you're living there on Shabbos, you come back from Shabbos and from shul, and the doorman buzzed you in. So the answer is, am I not allowed to live in such a building? The answer is no, of course you are, because the Nachri could have gotten up to open the door. I don't want to get up. It's a big tircha. So instead he buzzes you in. But he doesn't have to buzz me in. He could have gotten up and opened the door. He doesn't want to. So that's again, a daite de nafshe avad.
What if holding the door
for the opening? Or, we'll get to him in 1 second. Or, if I ask anachri to wash the dishes on Shabbos. So if I have over there a Shabbos sponge and a regular sponge. I ask the woman to wash the dishes. And she decides to use the regular sponge instead of the Shabbos sponge. So again, that's a daita de nafshei avan. However, there's a severe limitation to this. And that is because of a bam kasha. Someone asked it this. Or for Shabbos has this kasha. Someone asked it during the shiur this year. The Shmir Shabbos Kelchasa quotes from Shlomo Zalman that what should be the halacha if you ask a nachri to do something kalachar yad? If I ask a nachri to do something kalachar yad. So Shlomo Zalman held that that's called the shvus de shvus. Let's say I ask the nachri to turn on the light, kalachar yad, with his elbow. So Shlomo Zalman held that's a shvus de shvus. In the tikkunim of the Shmir Shabbos Hilchos in the third volume, he quotes from the Prima Gadim, who had a suffix about this. But the Shmir Shabbos Hilchos in the main body of the Sefer quotes from Shlomo Zalman and from others that would be a het of shvus de shvus. And then he says, he quotes from the Buchacharov, that if I ask Anachri to do a kalachar yad, and he does a kedarko, then that's on him. That's a daita de nafshei avad. I ask him to do a kalachar yad, he decides to do a kedarko. So then, that's on him. So what do we say then? Every time I ask Anachri to do something, every time, why not just say it's a daita de nafshei avad? He didn't have to do a kedarko, at least it should be a shvus de shvus. He didn't have to do a kedarko, he could have done a kalachar yad. Every yisim in the Rabbanan could have been a shvus de shvus. He decides to do a kedarko. Who told him to do a kedarko? He should have done a kalach hayad. The fact that he does a kedarko is a daita de nafshei avad. So the Aruch HaShabbos quote there from a Nissen Karelitz, who says, because of this kasha, he thinks that the rule has to be that the only time we say a daita de nafshei avad is if there is a reasonable option otherwise. There's a reasonable heter option. Meaning there is a Shabbos sponge there. If you don't have a Shabbos sponge, all you have is a regular sponge, So then I don't think there is a heter for her to use the regular sponge, because if a doctor didn't have shabbat, how else do you expect her to wash her dishes? With soap in her hand? I've heard poskim say that, but I think it's very difficult. Well, we really expect her to use soap on her hand? I've never seen anybody, maybe yeshiva guys do that, but I've never seen anybody, they don't wash their dishes. I've never seen anybody wash dishes with soap on their hand. You do that?
No, my mother does.
Oh, isn't they? I don't think most people do that, though. With all due respect to your mother, but I don't think most people do that. This conventional way of washing dishes. At least someone who's helping you out in your house will use every excuse to get out of washing dishes. You don't have a sponge? Well, what do you want from me? I don't think that most people wash dishes with their soap on their hands. So then you have to have I bought in my house a Shabbos sponge. We've never used it. We only have it there. So if we ever have a nacher in the house and she's washing dishes on Shabbos, we're having a lot of guests, so then we ask her to wash the dishes. She decides to use the regular sponge up to her. We just have it there as a viable option to get out of this problem. But you have to have, it has to be normal. Or if this in Karelitz also discusses the case, he says, let's say I'm in a hotel and I ask a nacher to bring something up to my hotel room on the 35th floor. So do I say, if he uses the elevator, oh, that's a dietary denapshi of it, he could have taken the stairs? Really? I mean, a guy's going to walk up 35 flights of stairs to bring me an extra pillow? He probably would say to the guy at the front, let's say the electricity were out, would they be bringing pillows up to the 35th flight of the hotel? They probably would not be. So it's unreasonable. If it's on the third flight, I could say, oh, he took the elevator, a dietary denapshi of it. It's reasonable. It's reasonable for the doorman to get up and open the door. But if it's unreasonable to walk up 35 flights of stairs, when Nissen Karelitz says, then you don't have this. You don't have this heter. So at least has to be, I think, a reasonable option to do it in a mutter way, and then you have the heter of a daita denav sheyavad. Along the same lines of a daita denav sheyavad, yeah.
Let's say by vacuuming, forgetting the option, that should also be awesome. Because something spills on the car, something like dirty on the car.
How else could she do it other than vacuuming?
That should be awesome.
I don't think, I've never seen people mat vacuuming on Shabbos.
I think remember.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Since
one
of out of the house.
Yeah, but option also applies even if you're out of the house. I've never heard anybody who allows running a dishwasher. That
like,
don't plug in.
Yeah, like Shabbos.
Ah, you could use that.
What?
You could use that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you have an option also, Shiloh. You have an option also, Shiloh. I don't even, most postings don't allow you to put your dishwasher on a timer. On a timer. Because of Avshim Milsa. I don't think most people allow it to order the dishwasher. I've never heard of a place, other than Rabbi Neuberger mentioned it this year, but I've never heard of that before. A place from allowing a dishwasher or a vacuum cleaner. It's not done. It's not done, yeah. Along the same lines of Adaita Danav Shayabad, so the Mishnah Berurah and Siman Reish Nun Beis, if Kahn Chav Zayin quotes from the Taz, that if. That if I ask a woman to wash, let's say, the dishes, but if the room is dark, yeah.
I'm sorry, it's about the previous cloud. Rabbi Neuberger also mentioned that if you have like a non-Jewish housekeeper coming and they live 10 miles away,
right.
And you don't say, come at 7 o'clock, come at 10 o'clock,
right.
They could walk, they're not going to walk 10 miles.
We'll get one second, we'll get to that question. I am moving for a different reason, not because of that, I didn't know, Shabbos. For this reason. The Taz says that if I ask a Nachri to wash dishes on Shabbos, but I ask her, please go wash the dishes. The kitchen's black and pitch dark. How's she supposed to wash the dishes? So the Taz says, if she turns on a light in order to wash her dishes, that's for herself. Because that's not what I asked her to do. I asked her to wash the dishes. Ah, you can't wash the dishes in the dark, but that's ancillary. That's tangential. I didn't ask her to do that. So since that's tangential to what I asked her to do, there's no issue of Amiru and Achri with regard to that. Or Bekiva Eger says that's the heter. If you want to try and figure out a way to get a light on Shabbos, is go put your sefer into the, need a sefer from a room, which is pitch dark, from the room that you want the light turned on. Ask the Achri, can you go get me this book from the bookshelf? She's not going to be able to find it because it's pitch dark. She'll turn on the light. And then Bekiva Eger says, oh, then you can walk in and then use the light in the room because she turned on the light. But heter to look for the book that you asked her to get. Looking for the book is mutter. The fact that she turned on the light in order to find it is tangential, and the Yis of Amir Lenachri doesn't apply to something which is tangential. That's why the Minchas Yitzchak has that's why the Minchas Yitzchak's tshuva is difficult. The Minchas Yitzchak has a tshuva about asking, calling a taxi to come Matzei Shabbos. Let's say you're running out to the airport Matzei Shabbos. You call a taxi to come. The taxi is going to have to leave on Shabbos in order to get to you. So Minchas Yitzchak says, you're not allowed to do that. How are you allowed to do that? He's driving on Shabbos for you. So the Orcha Shabbos argues that most allow that because that's tangential. That's not what I'm asking him to do. I'm asking him to take me from my house to the airport after Shabbos is over. The fact that he needs to leave before Shabbos in order to get to my house. Not my problem. That's not what I'm asking him to do. For the same reason, I ask a woman to come help me Shabbos morning my house. I'm having lots of guests. So I'm not asking her to drive to my house. How she gets, that's no different than the Taz is light. How she gets here is not my problem. I'm asking her to do something which is mutter. The fact that she needs to violate an Isra along the way, again, would be tangential. And it should be the same heter as the same heter as the Taz.
How's that different than asking them to carry something up to your room on the 35th?
Because then I'm asking them to carry. I'm asking you to bring it to me. What am I asking you to do? I'm asking you bring me something. What am I asking the woman to do? Work in my house. You need to get here. That's your problem. But here, all I'm asking you to do, for example, I ask you to take something from me to Connecticut on Shabbos. How do I expect you to get there? Meaning what I'm asking you to do is move an item from point A to point B. That's my main request from you, is to move an item from point A to point B. It's not tangential. When I ask you to bring me a pillow, I don't mean to belittle, hotel staff, but all they're doing you is bringing a pillow from point A to point B. That's the whole thing I'm asking them. It's not tangential. How he gets there is relevant. When I call a taxi, I'm not asking him to come to my house. I'm asking him to take me Motzei Shabbos. That's how he gets to my house is tangential. It's no different than me asking a woman to to wash dishes in a pitch dark room, which the Taz says is allowed, because that's tangential. It's not what I asked her to do. It's impossible any other way. Okay. But that's not what I'm asking her to do. So the Isra Mimon Nachri applies to what I'm asking. What I'm asking the Nachri to do is leave Matzei Shabbos. How you get here is not my problem.
So if I would say, can you make sure that this item gets in my room? I'm just going to take it. Just make sure it gets there.
Again, what you're asking, where's the pillow now? Point A. Yes. I'm asking you to bring the pillow from point A to point B. I'm asking you, wherever your pillows are kept, bring me one. I'm asking you, wherever your pillows are kept, bring me one. What you're asking is, bring me an item from elsewhere.
Right. Please make sure there's a pillow in my room.
So if you say that before, I come, but if I'm in the hotel already and I say, I need a pillow, and I ask the maid, the counter, whatever they call the guy at the bottom of the desk, I ask him, can you, what do most people say? Send me up a pillow. So you are asking them to bring you something which might or might not involve an Isser. So if you're on the 50th floor, it's unreasonable. If I ask the woman, come to my house, but that's not what you're asking her to do. What you're asking her to do is work in your house. How she comes to your house is irrelevant to you. So that's tangential. I think it's a fair argument. Is it splitting hairs a little bit? But I think it's a very, the whole Taz is splitting hairs. Once you accept the Taz, that the tangential Isser might not be relevant, same thing should apply here too. The whole Isra of Amir Lenachri is because, again, we mentioned two possibilities, either because of Adaber Davar or because of Yesh Lichus HaChumer. The Rambam, of course, had his reason, because you might come to do it yourself. But it primarily involves an asking Lenachri to do something. Because of that, the Rebbe Kiva Eger, and it's quoted by the Mishnah Berurah too, quotes him a Chavos Yoyer that it could be the whole Isra of Amir Lenachri is only if I ask the Nachri directly. But if I ask a Nachri to ask another Nachri to do a Malacha for me on Shabbos, perhaps the Gzeira never applied. It's known as Amira da Amira. However, the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Avodas HaGershuni, which is printed actually in the Tshuvas Chavos Yoyer. He was a contemporary of the Chavos Yoyer, who disagreed with the Chavos Yoyer. He said he's wrong, Misvar, and he's wrong, he's against the Gemara. It's an explicit Gemara. Gemara says Maseches Shabbos. The Chavos Yoyer tries to dance around it, but the Gemara says Maseches Shabbos that I'm not allowed to ask a Nachri to hire Nachri workers for me on Shabbos. So even though I'm not the one who's asking the Nachri to do the work, I'm asking a Nachri to ask another Nachri to come and work for me on Shabbos, that's also Aser. Besides which, the Avodas HaGershuni argues all of the same lumdus as to why Amir HaNachri is Aser, either because of Adaber Davar, I'm speaking about Malachas, or Yeshlichos, he thinks would also apply in this scenario, and you have a problem. The Mishnah Berurah does quote from a Tshuva of the Chasam Sofer that perhaps there is some kiyum to the svar of the Chav. We generally don't accept the Chavos Yoyer, but the Chasam Sofer, and it's quoted by the Bir Halacha, suggested perhaps we can be maker like the Chavos Yoyer if you ask him during the week. If you remember, we said Rashi has his two reasons, V'daber Davar and Yeshlichus L'chumra. During the week, the only problem Rashi said was, the Achronim said was, that there's no V'daber Davar, I'm not speaking about a Malacha on Shabbos, there's a problem of Yeshlichus L'chumra. And the Chasam Sofer, when he does Malacha for me on Shabbos, will be on my behalf. And the Chasam Sofer suggests it could be that by Amira da Amira, if I ask a Nachri who's going to ask another Nachri, all I have is a problem of V'daber Davar. I'm speaking about a Malacha on Shabbos. But Shlichus wouldn't apply, because it's a whole telephone game. I ask a Nachri, the Nachri asks another Nachri. The second Nachri is not my Shaliach, I didn't appoint him. So perhaps it's only a problem of V'daber Davar. So the Chasam Sofer says, if I ask an achri in a fashion of Amir da Amira to do something for, on Tuesday, to do something for me on Shabbos, perhaps there is room to be Mekel. So the Mishnah Brura and Shin Zayin of Kan Chav Dawud quotes like this from the Chasam Sofer, and he doesn't like it, but maybe you could be Mekel B'Shas HaChak like the Chasam Sofer. That's the story of the Amira da Amira. There should have been. What about? Move on to this topic. Amir da Amira is one potential way of getting out of Amir and Achri, because I didn't say it explicitly. What about if I hint to something? So generally speaking, hinting doesn't help. The Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos that I'm not allowed to hire workers on Shabbos. We just mentioned that. I'm not allowed to ask another Achri to hire workers for me. But if I say to the Achri, you know what, stick around till Matzei Shabbos. There might be some work for you. But I don't, or there might be something interesting. But I don't tell him what it is. I just say, stick around till Matzei Shabbos. You never know what might happen. So then that is allowed. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Remiza to an Achri, to do a malacha, might be permissible. However, the Ramah there, and this is in Shin Zayin, the Ramah in Sif Chav Beis, says Remiza is only allowed in two scenarios. Either if it's Matzei Shabbos, that's the Gemara there, I say to the Nachri, you know what, stick around till Matzei Shabbos, you never know what might happen. So then I'm not being Merames to him to do a Malacha on Shabbos, I'm being Merames him to do a Malacha Matzei Shabbos. Or there's another case where Remiza is allowed, the Ramah says it's B'makom Hefsid, because the Mishnah says in Masechet Shabbos that if my house is on fire, Rabbi Neuberger discussed the practical ramifications of that, but if your house is on fire, on Shabbos, lo yaleinu, so you're allowed to say, Kol Mechabe Eino Mafsid. Whoever will come and put it out won't lose out. You're not saying to an Achri, you can't say to the Achri to put it out. Rabbi Neuberger mentioned, of course, nowadays in our context, you would be able to tell the Achri, call 911. But in those days, we're talking about a farmhouse. So you say, call Mechabe Eino Mafsid. Whoever puts it out won't lose anything. See, Merame. So the Mishnah says that's allowed. So Ramah says that's allowed because it's B'makom Hefsid. So either if it's Matzei Shabbos, or I'm not asking to do a Malach until Matzei Shabbos, or it's B'makom Hefsid, there Remiza would be allowed. In other scenarios, Remiza would not be allowed. The Mishnah Brura, though, there, Shin Zayin, Sifkan Ayin Vav, quotes from the Magen Avraham that there are two types of Remiza. This is talking about if it's Remiza B'derech Tzivoy, a commanding type of Remiza. I mention the action. I say, Koha Mechabe, whoever will put out the fire won't lose out. That's pretty direct. But if I talk about it, Tzibor, Dvarim Be'alma, I tell the guy a whole sob story. I'm, oi, my house is burning down. And the guy says, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. So then, okay, it's stuck. But if he gets the hint and he decides to want to put up my house, put the fire out, so then that would be Der Sipa B'Yama, and that would be allowed. That would be allowed even if it's not for Matzei Shabbos, or even if it's not for Makom Hefsid, Remiza, but Der Sipa Dvarim B'Yama would always be allowed, because I'm not asking the Nachri to do it. The Prima Gadim quotes the newer Sfarim, quote this limitation to the Sipra Dvarim B'Alma business, because the people have abused it. So the Prima Gadim quotes from the Rush, who says, the Rush says that if you ask the guy to come over to your house, I say, quick, come over! I sit him down in my living room, I start telling him, you know, my house is burning down. Or if I obviously that would be a bad example, but I tell him, I, you know, whatever, we have this, the light is on in the room, no one can sleep. So there, that's not Sipra Dvarim B'Alma. I called him over to my house. I said, my friend, come. And then I start telling him a whole sob story. That's already a tzivoy. I already told the guy to come. I'd have to cock the guy on the street and start telling him a whole sob story. My light is on, we can't sleep. And then if he decides to come over on his own, that's there, Sipra Dvarim B'Alma. That's why some have thrown into question. I'm not willing to answer it myself. If other ones want to do that, that's up to them. But others have thrown into question whether the whole heter of Sipra Dvarim B'Alma applies to people help in the house. You've already hired a person to come to your house to help you. So you start hinting to your cleaning help in the house. Oh, we have this and this. She's like, sir, what do you want me to do? You know. So then that's a tzivoy. Or if you have a Shabbos guy in the shul. So he's there. You're paying him to come help you. So if you start hinting, Remiza, that isn't Remiza. You're paying the guy, you've been tzava him to come. So it could be the whole heter of Remiza, derech, Sipra Dvarim B'Alma doesn't work. Also, they also throw into question, let's say it's the second time it happened. The first time, I go over to the guy and start telling him a sob story. Then the second time, I go over with the same sob story. So the guy already knows from the last time what I want him to do. So now we have already a code. So like, if you have help in the house and it's the 15th time you've asked her, oh, we can't sleep because the light is on. She says, oh, come turn off the light. So then that's a code that you have, which Rabbi Newberg also mentioned. Whenever you have a code, even if I just make hand signals, and she gets the idea, that would also be aser. So that's why the Remiza Shalobi Derev Tzivoy has somewhat limitations. Besides which, and this would apply to Amira Damira too, and this whole Remiza B'derech Sipur Dvarim B'Yama, is we have to ask, how does that really help at all? The Mishnah says in Masechet Shabbos that if a Nochri lights a candle on Shabbos for him, for me, I'm not allowed to benefit from the candle. If he lights the candle for himself, I'm allowed to benefit from the candle ner le'echa, ner le'meya. If you have a candle for one, it's the same as a candle for 100. But if it's lights it for a Jew, the Jew is not allowed to benefit from the candle, even if you never asked him to do it. So that's the problem. How do I ever have a heter, Amira Damira, or Remiza Shle, Bader Sipur Dvarim B'Yama? How do I ever have a heter to benefit from what the Nachri did, even if a Nachri does something, I don't ask him. He does it all by himself, unprovoked. You're also not allowed to benefit from the Malacha. So how am I ever allowed to benefit from what the Nachri does? And in fact, the Magen Avraham quotes throughout, this is quoted throughout the Mishnah Berurah, the Magen Avraham quotes on Rabbeinu Simcha, that if I see him about to do a Malacha for me, I have to tell him to stop. I have to be mochel against the Nachri. So how do these Heterim help us? How does Ramiza B'derech Sipur B'Dorim Yama, Amira Damira, even according to the Chavos Zior, we don't really accept it. How does that help? But either way, not to benefit from what the Nachri does, and if I see the Nachri doing it, I have to tell him to stop. I have to tell him to stop. So Tosos raises this question. Tosos raises this question. And Tosos quotes from the Rishonim from Rabbeinu Shimshon, who answers that there's a difference between a Hanah Chiyuvis and a Hanah Shlilis. The only time, Remiza B'derech Sipur Dvarim B'Yalma, or Amir Damira, you could discuss this helping you out, is if he's doing something that's removing a problem. He's putting out the fire. He's putting out a light. So he's not providing me an item that I have hana that I didn't have hana with before. He's removing a problem, and then I get hana from my house, which didn't burn down. So, but that's not where he creates something proactively. But if he creates something proactively, like he lights a candle, then, even if he's unprovoked, I never asked him, I'm not allowed to benefit from it, and I would have to tell him to stop. The Mishnah Berurah and Simon Shin Lamedal, it's Sivkan Samach Aleph, quotes that from the Tosfos. So that's why the whole heterim of Remiza B'derech Sipur Dvarim B'Yama will only come up if I'm asking the Nachri to put something out, put out a light. Or let's say your alarm system is going off. So, yeah, Mamish, there's no Onyx Shabbos like that. So you ask the Nachri, then you could probably ask the Nachri directly to turn it off. Because we would assume turning off the alarm is only derabanan, doesn't have any filaments there, and Leo Nachri is the second derabanan shvus to shvus makam onik Shabbos, it should be allowed. Probably even allowed to turn it off kalachar yad. Same thing with a light in the room. A light in the room, if you have a light on, so then you could probably turn off of shekels like this. Turn off the light kalachar yad. Why? Because it's shvus to shvus kalachar yad, and now putting out all lights, it's always malacha shein tzricha legufa. There's no pecham, so it should be a shvus to shvus. But there, in those situations, let's say I want to turn off an alarm, I want to turn out a light, you could be meramis to the Nachri, you could be meramis to the Nachri to do it. Why? Because there he's doing it, why? Because there he's not creating anything that I'm benefiting from. But if I want to ask him to turn on a light, Remiza should never help. Yeah?
When you move the switch with your elbow,
The Egoi Tal writes, we mentioned this in Hilchos Bishul, the Egoi Tal points out that there's two halachas of Kalach Yad. There's one halacha in Kol Tor Kula and one in Shabbos. All the posts can accept this Egoi Tal. Nahagdama, Oz Gimel. And the Egoi Tal says that if it's the Kalach Yad of Shabbos, the difference between Kalach Yad and Kol Tor Kula and Kalach Yad of Shabbos, which is us, Kalach Yad and Kol Tor Kula is Heter Gomer. Kalach Yad and Shabbos is us Midur Rabbanon. So Egoi Tal says the difference is if there's a difference in the product. If there's a difference in the product, that Kalach Yad applies to a Kol Tor Kula, and that's Heter Gomer. If there's no difference in the product, there's only a difference in the way that I accomplish the task, so then that's the Kalach Yad of Shabbos, and generally speaking, that's Asa Midrabanan. But all it is Asa Midrabanan, because the Mishnah says in the Sechah Shabbos that if I carry something Kalach Yad, so that's Asa Midrabanan, Kalach Yad. What changed? The product doesn't change. I carried it kalach yad. Or the Gemara says in kalal gadol, if I kick a stone at the tree and an apple falls off, I'm over on kaitzer kalach yad, because I didn't pull off the apple directly. I kicked the stone and it fell off. Is there any difference in the apple where it fell off? Is there any difference in the item that I carried in my sock as opposed to carrying it directly? No, no difference. So most hold that there's I would say all Ruba Kukulam hold that you don't need it, the product to be different. The product's different. That's like Bishul Bechama we mentioned. Bishul Bechama's Heter Gomer. That's not Asim Midrabban. By the way, this would not apply if this happens. This would not apply. Again, we're saying right now that all of these Hateim Ramiza B'Derech Sipur Dvar and B'Yam, and all of these things only help if the Nachri is taking removing something, removing a problem. But if he actually creates a situation which I'm now benefiting from, so then that's always Aser. That's only Aser if the Nachri did it, the Poskim point, it's a wrinkle, that it's only Aser if the Nachri did it for me. If he does it for himself, then I'm allowed to benefit from. Let's say he turns on a light for himself, of course I'm allowed to benefit from that. So the Bir Alach on Simin Reish Ayin Vav has an interesting, this is a parenthetical comment, Simin Reish Ayin Vav Sif Aleph has an interesting comment where he writes, if a Nachri, let's say I have a light under my house, the Nachri turns out the light, because that's what she does when she's in the house, she turns out all the lights. She doesn't know on Shabbos and Yom Tov we choreographed all the lights that we want on, and she turns it off. So then I say, why'd you turn off the light? We left it on. So she says, oh, sorry, and she turns it back on. So Bir Alach says, that's for herself. She doesn't look bad. That's not for me. So you're allowed to benefit from that. Or discussing with Rabbi Lug the other day, a month ago or whatever, Nachri was in a hotel for Shabbos, and oh, this happens a lot. After breakfast, they have hot water there for coffee and tea. After breakfast, they're cleaning up for lunch, so they unplug the hot water. So it could be that they had to plug back in the hot water. The caterer comes over to Nachri, he's like, what are you doing? And they thought they're cleaning up from breakfast. They're unplugging the Shabbos urns. So the answer, it could be that it's mutter for the Nachri to plug it back in. Again, he's not cooking the water for us. He's cooking the water for himself because he doesn't want to look bad. So in that situation, that's for himself. Or the Mishnah Berurah says in Reish Ayin Vav Sifkan Lamed Vav that if I tell him, don't turn on the light, and he turns it on anyway. So that's for himself. He did it good. I hope he's happy. I asked him not to turn it on. He turns it on anyway. Then I can benefit from the light. But generally speaking, anything that the Nachri does for you on Shabbos that produces a positive result, a positive situation of Hana, which you didn't have previously, one would not be allowed to benefit from it, even if you didn't ask him directly. He did it unprompted, would also be also. What is the difference? So we're distinguishing, though, you would be allowed to benefit from something the Nachri did by himself if it was a Hana Shlivas, if he removed your problem. It's not so clear, though, what is called removing a problem and what is called creating a situation where you're getting a new Hana. Yeah.
No. There's no
answer. Oh, you're saying if I ask him, let's say.
You ask him in the fridge. Why else benefit from
the light? Yeah, no, it would apply. You're saying there, even if I didn't ask him.
I really need the light.
Right, I'm not benefiting from the light. I'm benefiting from the food. I'm benefiting from the food, and that I'm allowed to ask him to open it. Right. Yeah, but you couldn't benefit from the light. If I wanted to do something in the room that I couldn't have done in the dark, like I wanted to read now because of the refrigerator light, I think you'd be right. I don't know. It's a good point. It's a very good point. I don't know. I need to think about it more. It's going to be relevant to this discussion. The Poskim discuss, or Moshe discusses, let's say I asked, they had this case once with a shul, that the shul was locked, and the Nachri brought the key, Derech Rishus HaRabim, in order to open the shul. So that's probably mutter, because the Moshe writes this too, because it's Miro Nachri B'Mokom Mitzvah DeRabim. Where the rabbim needed. And Makom Mitzvah and Mr. Rabbim, so it should be allowed. But before Ramosha got to that, so Ramosha discussed, would that be called a positive Hana, that the Nachri created a situation for me of Hana that I didn't have previously, or is he removing a problem? Is he removing the lock, or is he opening the door? And that's like benefiting from an open candle, so a new light, a new candle. So Ramosha writes that that's called benefiting from what the Nachri did. You would not be allowed to benefit from the room after the Nachri unlocked it for you, if you didn't have that option previously. Shlomo Zalman is quoted by the Zanuah Sefer Maor HaShabbos. Rabbi Yashav is quoted like this in Melachim Amnayach. That's by his son-in-law, Rabbi Zilberstein. So they both argue that, no, that's called removing the lock. That's like removing the fire from the house. He's not creating a Hanah that it didn't have previously. This might be relevant also for a situation, a person happens. People, a guy left his challahs in the car. You have a Nachri in the house. Can I ask the Nachri to go get the challahs from the car? So the fact that he turns on the light in the car when he opens the door, that's a psik reshe. I don't care about that. I asked him to open the door. So that's a psik reshe. So the fact that the light goes on is, that's not my, and that might be Doraisa if there's a filament, that's not my problem. But you have the Dirabanan of opening the door. That there's usually an electric part of that. So if there's an electric part of that, of opening the door, So then, am I allowed to benefit from what he takes out of the chalas that he takes out? That's again the same shaila. According to Rav Moshe, we could perhaps not. According to Rosh Hashanah, all he's doing is removing the chalas from the car. He's not giving me an avenue of hanah that I didn't previously have. He's removing a problem. Rav Moshe might hold that he's creating a situation of hanah. It probably might be mutter anyway because the car is derabanan. Let's say the electric part of the car is derabanan. The light, which is daraisa, I don't care about. Electric part is derabanan, nachri is derabanan, so shvus to shvus and makom onik shabbos. If I don't have other chalas, maybe it should be allowed anyway. But it's an interesting application of Rav Moshe and Rishon LeZalman. The other case might be in a hotel room. If you have a key card and you ask the nachri to open the door, so according to Rishon LeZalman, you're allowed to be meramis to the nachri to open the door. There's no easy to benefit, or if the nachri opened the door for you, there's no easy to benefit from that which the nachri did. According to Rav Moshe, we could begin to discuss that perhaps there is, if the Nachri opened the door for you, perhaps he's creating an avenue of Hano that he didn't have previously. It's a Hano Chiyuvis, not a Hano Shlidis. He's not removing the lock, he's opening a door, and then you might not be able to benefit from that which the Nachri did. Again, Rabbi Neuberger mentioned, this should be pointed out, Rabbi Neuberger mentioned that nowadays by, I don't like bringing rice from caterers or from conventions. But nowadays, many know that one is allowed to ask the Nachri to open the door to if you have a key card because of Shvus to Shvus B'Mako Mitzvah. What's the Mitzvah? Onik Shabbos. What am I supposed to do? Sleep in the hall. And the magnet on the door is a Derabanan. It's an electromagnet. Is Derabanan. And the LED light is Derabanan. Asking the Nachri is Derabanan. So you have a Shvus to Shvus B'Mako Mitzvah. However, there's a truth in the Ksav Sofer, and that's the way it says in the Sharat Tzion, in Tzimei Reish Mem Dalet of Kan Lamed Hei, that the heter of Shvus to Shvus is not lechachila. It's not supposed to be a policy. That is not an operational principle. We don't institutionalize Shvus to Shvus b'makom mitzvah. It's a concession that we make when we get stuck. But we don't plan for Shvus to Shvus b'makom mitzvah. At least that's the way I've heard Rabbi Willig or Shechter, that Shvus to Shvus b'makom mitzvah is not an operational principle. We don't institutionalize it. If the only way the shul could function is based on Shvus to Shvus b'makom mitzvah, that's not an acceptable option. So if the only way I'm planning a convention, and the only way you can have your convention is by relying on Shvus to Shvus b'makom mitzvah, I don't think there are some poskim who you will find who will institutionalize Shvus to Shvus b'makom mitzvah. They don't have a problem with it. But I'm talking to some of the other poskim in the yeshiva, they were not happy with institutionalizing Shvus to Shvus b'makom mitzvah. There was a shul in the New York area, had a very old Rav, he's since retired, so I'm sure you don't know about it, that they every time the Rav, he was so old, they had a hard time hearing him speak over the air conditioning. So every time he spoke, they would turn off the air conditioning, and after the speech, they would turn back on, not the Jew, the Nachri in the shul would turn back on the air conditioning. So Stamaz, I'm not sure that's called a mitzvah b'chlal. He'd have to get very good joshes to call it a mitzvah. But either way, even if it is Shvus to Shvus b'makom mitzvah, yes, you'll have to turn off the air conditioning. So, but still, do we institutionalize things like that is a much bigger question. But one can begin to discuss it, but without the chesbon of Shvus to Shvus b'makom mitzvah, at least in theory, we can begin to discuss opening a door. Is that called a hanah chiyuvis or hanah shlilis? Certainly bringing something michutz l'tchum, even though I didn't create an item, but I just brought it from place A to place B, but I did it through an Iser, so the Shulchan Aruch says there in Shin Zayin, Sif Yudalit, he's quoting from the Mishnah in Shabbos and Gemara Maseches Be'ah, that if a Nachri brings something, Michutz L'Tchum, that you are not allowed to benefit from that. Even though he didn't create the item, bringing it from point A to point B through an Iser is called benefiting from an Iser that the Nachri did, even though I never asked him to do it. He brings me the item because someone else sent it to me, and he brings it to me through an Iser, I'm not allowed to benefit from it. The Shulchan Aruch there says, this is relevant if you get a letter on Shabbos. So the Shulchan Aruch says, you're allowed to read the letter because it might contain something that's Pikuach Nefesh. But without the Pikuach Nefesh aspect to it, so the Mishnah Berurah there in the Be'er Lach, according to the name of the Grother, you're not allowed to benefit from it. If there wouldn't be a Heter Pikuach Nefesh, because maybe there's some sort of timely news in the letter that is going to save my life, without that svar, it should have been also to benefit from the letter which came to me, Chutz L'Tchum, because of benefiting from that which the Nachri created. It might even be nowadays, the poskim write, that you don't have this heter anymore. There's no heter to read the mail anymore because of Bikuach Nefesh. The Rabbi Badner in his Sefer Til Tuve Shabbos, the Muktzah book, quotes in the name of Rav Moshe. We don't get ready in the times of Rav Moshe in the Muktzah book. This is already 20 years ago, more. Rav Moshe says you don't get important communications anymore through the mail. So certainly in our days, nobody sends important communications through the mail, so you don't have this heter anymore. So Rav Moshe claimed he would not be able to benefit from, there's no assumption of Pikuach Nefesh, clearly, and he wouldn't be allowed to read it. And then Rav Moshe says, if you're not allowed to read it, so what use does it have for you on Shabbos? So Rav Moshe says, it's Muktzah. The male should be Muktzah. That's what many people treat the male like Muktzah, because Rav Moshe said, you can't read it, there's no Heter Pikuach Nefesh, what else are you going to do with it? So it's Muktzah. Then Rabbi Bodner quotes from Shlomo Zalman that he said, no, you could use the mail for something else. I can't read it, because then I'm benefiting what the Nachri did, but I use it as a coaster. Or I could use it as a bookmark. I had other bookmarks. I don't need this letter to use as a bookmark, so I could use it as a bookmark. I could use it as a coaster. So since I could use it for something, it's not Muktzah. Rabbi Shalom, what are you going to use it for? It's Muktzah. And Shlomo Zalman said, no, you could use it for a coaster, a bookmark, which that Hano was not created by the Nachri bringing me the letter. So then, because of that, I should be able to, it shouldn't be Muktzah either. However, Rabbi Bodner points out that it's only by mail, which is not important, like a check. The guy uses his paycheck as a bookmark. Most rational people don't do that, or as a coaster. So since our mail contains checks and it contains important documents like bills and things like that, so many still treat mail as Muktzah. Because it has no use, you can't read it on Shabbos because it was brought mechutz l'tchum for you, and there's no issue of pikuach nefesh, and you wouldn't use some important documents as a coaster or a bookmark. So then it might even be mitzvah. Okay.
Is this
Planet
Newspapers?
Oh, we'll get to it in a second. That's only if I couldn't have this benefit before. We said if the Nachri removes us a problem for me, it's hanash lilis, then I'm allowed to benefit from. Let's say the Nachri adds something, but I could have had this same mode of benefit, this same type of benefit without the Nachri lighting the candle. That's the Shulchan Aruch discusses in Siman Reish Ayin Vav Sif Dalet. If I have one candle already in the room, and the Nachri comes and he adds another candle. So he says, if I could have had that same form of benefit before, I could have read, even if I had read Al Yidei Hadchak, but I could have read here, and then the Nachri lights another candle, now I can read even better. Then it's mutter to benefit from the second candle that the Nachri lit. Or if there's enough daylight outside that I could have read, then the Nachri comes and he lights the second candle, now I can read better, so then I'm allowed to benefit from the light that the Nachri lit. But if I couldn't benefit, even if there's a candle here, but it was too dark to read without the second candle, then I'm not allowed to benefit from that which the Nachri lit. Ramosha, though, has an interesting case, an interesting application of this where he limits this principle of Hosafos Haner. Ramosha says that if, let's say, I'm sitting in a room, and the Nachri turns on the air conditioning, so Rav Moshe said, you're not allowed to benefit from the air conditioning. Why? I could have sat in the room anyway. So Rav Moshe says, yeah, but you couldn't have sat in the room in a cool fashion. That's a different type of Hanoah that you didn't have before. It's not like one candle and I added another candle. The fact that I could have sat in the room in sweltering heat is not half of sitting in the room with air conditioning. Sitting in the room with air conditioning is a totally different experience. So Moshe says, there you'd have no heter. That's not like called the Hosafos Ora. That's like a new type of Hana.
The
Mishnah Berurah says in Shin Chav Vav, Sivkot and Tes Vav, Rabbi Neuberger doesn't like this Mishnah Berurah either, but the Mishnah Berurah says that if a Nachri shines my shoes on Shabbos, so I'm not allowed to wear the shoes. Or if a Nachri launders my clothes on Shabbos, so then I'm not allowed to wear the clothes. So many poskim, Rabbi Neuberger included, wondered about this Mishnah Berurah. Why? But I could have benefited from the shoes before. I could have benefited from the clothing even when it's dirty. Even my shoes are scuffed. So what? I could wear the shoes. All it is adding a benefit. So Moshe argues that the pshat in that Mishnah Berurah is that no, he's giving me a new avenue of Hanoah that I didn't previously have. So since he's providing me with a new avenue of Hanoah, if you want to raise the thermostat, that's a different story. There the air conditioning is on. I want it to come on more often. That's Hosafos Ora. But if I didn't have the air conditioning on in the first place, to turn on the air conditioning, Rav Moshe claims would be called benefiting from Hanoah that I didn't have previously. Okay, if there's a heter to ask the Nachri, like Shus to Shus from Makom Mitzvah, we mentioned it could be nowadays, last time, Hakol Cholom Eitzel Hachom. We don't only say Hakol Cholom Eitzel Tzina, everyone's a Cholom when it comes to the cold. Everyone is Cholom when it comes to the heat. So if you can ask the Nachri to turn on the air conditioning, certainly you can benefit from it. But the question is, if I'm not a chol eitzah hachom, I have other rooms that have air conditioning, I could go into those rooms. And enough returns on the air conditioning in this room, so that's where Moshe argues I might not be able to benefit from that air conditioning. This comes up, this heter of Hosafos Ora, though, raises a different question. If I'm allowed to benefit from enough lighting a secondary candle, that's not called hanach yuvis, adding a new benefit, a new avenue of hanach that I didn't have previously, Does that mean I could be merames to the Nachri to turn on a second light? Can I be merames to a Nachri to turn on a second light? So the Achronim argue, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Chai Odom argue that the only time I have to be mocha against the Nachri from doing an Anamalacha for me is if I'm not allowed to benefit from it. Like a Nachri wants to light a candle. So I have to tell him to stop doing it because I'm not allowed to benefit from the candle that he turns on. But can I be merames? But here, they say you don't have to be mocha against the Nachri. Nachri is allowed to light. If he lights a second candle for me in the room, or I could have read B'shas Al-Chak, I'm allowed to benefit from it. He's just adding a candle. So then also, am I allowed to be merames to him to turn on the candle? Can I say to him, oh, we'd like to have a meeting over here, but isn't enough light? There's enough light, but it's going to be difficult. Can I do that? And if I'm merames him to turn on the light in the first place, even if he turned it on by himself, it would be also to benefit from. But here we're talking about adding a candle. Comes up. People lots of times like to have shiurim or classes, which don't necessarily constitute makom mitzvah, the rabbim. It's a chassidus class or something. So they want to have it over there. So you got to, I can't say that anymore. So they want to have it, in the room, and you have to, there's a little light, you need more light. Maybe chassidus goes better if there's no light. But you have a little light, you want more light. So you have to be merames. If you're merames to the Nachri, turn on the light, that you can't do unless you have a mitzvah derabim. If this is a mitzvah derabim. But if you have if there's a little bit of light, you'd like more light, that's this shaila. So someone asked me this shaila before I actually looked into it. So I looked it up, showed me one Mishneh Berurah. Then I looked up, I saw a different Mishneh Berurah. So the answer is there's a steer of Mishneh Berurah about this issue. Can you be merames to a Nachri to turn on a second light in the room? So then after we looked at the Mishneh Berurah, we found there was a stira, so we looked at the Shmir Shabbos Kochasa, and again, the Shmir Shabbos Kochasa is Soser himself, because he's just quoting the Mishneh Berurah. So the Maisa, so Machlokas HaPoskim had a Paskin. Rav Moshe held that you're allowed to be Merames. Rav Shlomo Zalman in the Mincha Shlomo discusses this, and in Melach Mamnayach, also Rabbi Zilberstein, they're Machmer on this. You cannot be Merames to a Nachri to turn on a second light. If he turns it on, I can benefit from it, but you're not allowed to be, I don't have to tell him to stop, but I'm not allowed to be Merames to the Nachri to turn it on. Rav Moshe held that you are. Okay, so generally speaking, when Nachri does Malacha for me, and it gives me a new avenue of benefit that I didn't previously have, not only am I not allowed to be Merames to him, but even if he does it unprovoked, I'm not allowed to benefit from that which he did. However, the Mishnah says in Shabbos that if the Nachri lights, on Kuf Chav Beis, if he lights the candle for himself, then I am allowed to benefit from that which he did. If the Nachri though, because Ner Le'echa Ner Le'meya, if the Nachri brings water for himself from Chutz L'Tchum, that the Gemara there says, I'm not allowed to benefit from it if he knows me. Because since he knows me, and let's say a guy in Nachri brings heats up water on Shabbos, then I come over for him and we have a cup of coffee together on Shabbos because he heated up water for himself. And then I took some. So now every Shabbos he's going to think I'm going to come over and he's going to start heating up extra water for me. So because of that, he's going to start bringing extra water michutz l'tchum for me. So therefore the Gemara says, if he doesn't know me, there's no idea I'm going to come back next time, he's not going to bring for me, so then it's allowed to benefit from the water that he brought me chutz l'tchum. But if it's something that could be added to, like the, not ne'el ef and ne'el le'meh, he might do a second trip for me, so then it's not allowed, because he might next time do it for me also. Shema yarbi b'shvilo. So the Shulchan Aruch in Shin Chav Hei Sif Yud discusses this case, and he just basically quotes the rules from the Gemara. What is more interesting is the Gemara there says, yeah.
I just want to ask, in terms of this idea, also explains why, if you have the case where you ask them to wash dishes in the dark room, they turn light, that's for them, and therefore you can get enough of it.
Right. Yeah. So the Gemara says, Masechta Shabbos there discusses, so if a Nachri does it for himself, it is allowed. We might have to worry about him adding for you if he knows you, but in generally speaking, a Nachri does Malacha for himself, you're allowed to benefit. Or if the Nachri does Malacha for another Nachri, Jews are allowed to benefit. Let's say a Nachri does Malacha for a whole group of people, some of which are Nachrim, some of which are Jews. Is that called doing it for Jews, or is that called doing it for Nachrim? So the Gemara says you go based on Rov. If it's Rov Jews, he's doing it for Jews, and it's prohibited in benefit. If there's Rov Nachrim there, then he's doing it for the Nachrim, and it's prohibited, and it would be mutter to benefit from. The Shulchan Aruch in Reish Ayin Vav Sif Beis quotes this, and then he adds, that's only if you don't know who he's doing it for. If we don't know who he's doing it for, so we say he's probably doing it for the Rov. He's probably doing it for, if it's Rov Nachrim, he's doing it for the Rov Nachrim. If it's Rov Jews, he's probably doing it for the Rov Jews. But if you know, the guy says, I'm doing it for the Rov Jews, or the guy says, I'm doing it for the miut Jews, or the guy says, I'm doing it for the miut Nachrim, then that trumps the Rove principle. Once you know who he's doing it for, that would trump that. The Mishnah Berurah, though, in Sivkai and Yud Zayin there, Reish Ha'Vav, this quotes from the Magen Avraham, who discusses the very common case of a Nachri who's doing something both for Jews and for non-Jews. We're not determining based on the robe who is he doing it for. He's doing it openly, stated for both. Is that mutter or is that usher? So the Magen Avraham says, that's usher even if it's a meal of Jews. We only follow the robe if we don't know who he's doing it for. Here he says openly, I'm doing it for the robe Nachrim and the meal of Jews. He's doing it for both. So then it's usher. The Bir Halacha, there, Reish Ha'Vav, Sif Aleph, quotes from the Nishmas Adam and from the Elia Rabbah, that we follow Rav. Even if he's doing it for Rav Nachrim, even though he's also doing it for a Miu Jews, and he's not adding for the Jews, he's doing the exact same thing. He's doing the exact same thing. He's not doing an extra thing for the Jews. He's doing the exact same thing for the Nachrim and for the Miu Jews, then one is allowed to benefit from that. One is allowed. That the Tiferes Yisrael in his Hakdamah to the Mishnayos and Maseches Shabbos, called the Kilkelas HaShabbos, writes over there that we passing like the Nishmas Adam, like the Elia Rabbah, not like the Magen Avraham, that we can be Mekel on this Shiloh. That's the Shiloh he's discussing, is going on a cruise on Shabbos. If you go on a cruise, so the boat, usually, if the boat docks on Shabbos, great, but most cruises, even where Jews go on the cruise, it's Rov, not Jews, it's Rov Nachrim. And there's a miut of Jews that are on the cruise. And they travel on Shabbos, and boats don't travel with wind anymore. Someone is doing some malachas on the bottom of the boat in order to make sure that the boat is traveling. So who are they doing the malachas for? They're doing it for the whole boat. Are they adding for the Jews? I don't think so. They're doing it for the Rav Nachrim. So according to the Magen Avraham, it would be us, because you know he's doing it for the miut, not Jews too. They're doing it for the Rav Nachrim, but they know there are Jews on the boat. It's not like they're going incognito. They know that the Jews are there. They're providing them with a room to daven and with kosher food. So, but it's Rav Nachrim. So that would be this Shaila. So that the Tiferes Yisrael writes, the minig was to be Mako, to allow Jews, to, as long as they're the minority on the boat, to go on the boat, because really the malachas are being done for the Rav Nachrim, even though they're aware that the Jews are there. Ramosha writes also in the Tshuva that that's why electricity in Chutz La'aretz is not a Shaila. In Eretz Yisrael, electricity on Shabbos is a big Shaila, because you have Jews working in the power stations and they're doing malachas for Jews. But in America, and therefore, you know, everyone knows the whole Hak, the Chazir, you know, Bnei Brak, Yerushalayim, do they use electricity, don't they use electricity? In Chutz La'aretz, Ramosha writes, there's no Iser. Why? Because they're doing it for the Rav Nachrim, even though they know there are Jews in Bar Park, they know there are Jews in Williamsburg, everyone knows that by now. But they're not doing the Malacha, they're not changing it for the Miut Yisraelim, they're doing it for the Rav Nachrim, they run the power station. And since they run it in the absolutely same way, they don't add anything for the Jews, there wouldn't be an issue. For that reason also, let's say you're staying in a hotel on Shabbos and they have put out a continental breakfast. So you're allowed to take hot water from the continental breakfast. You can take the cereal. That's the issue with the cereal. Can you take water to make coffee? So again, they're probably putting out the same water for the Nachrim. They're putting out for the Rov Nachrim, even if they're probably not aware that you're there, unless you're there in a group, and then you might even be the Rov of the hotel. But if you're the miut of the hotel, even if they're aware that you're there, but still, you're the miut, and they're not doing anything special for you, so then that should be allowed. It's the same old child. What if, though, I ask the Nachri, I add something. He has to do extra for the Jews. So then that becomes a greater issue. The Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Resh Mem Zayin Sif Aleph that one is allowed to send a letter with a Nachri Erev Shabbos, Imcha Shecha. I'm allowed to give a Nachri a letter. I'm allowed to put something in the post office box, the post box, Erev Shabbos, as long as I don't tell the Nachri to travel on Shabbos. That's the whole case we had before, the dry cleaning. I drop off the dry cleaning on my way to shul. The Nachri decides to dry clean it on Shabbos. That's his problem, not my problem. Well, that's the same thing in Reish Mem Zayin Siv Gimel. I give him Nachri Malacha on Shabbos, before Shabbos, I give him my car to fix, and he decides to fix it on Shabbos. Again, that's up to him. That's a daita de nafshei aver. So Mishnah Berurah there says, quotes from the Tshuva of the Shvus Yaakov, that's why you're allowed to put mail in the mailbox on your way to shul, Erev Shabbos, because the Nachri decides to take it on Shabbos, that's on him. Again, it says on the time, scheduled time, it says 2 o'clock pickup, Shabbos afternoon. But that's up to him. I don't care when he takes it. Mail is a snail mail for real. I don't care when he goes on Shabbos, goes during the week. I'm not asking him to go on Shabbos.
I don't say it's probably on like a reasonable criterion.
No, because the heter is not, I'm asking him to do something where he could do it in a heter way, he decides to do it in an easter way, it's up to him. Here, I literally don't care if he takes it on Shabbos or during the week. I don't care. Let him take it Monday.
You don't want your mail to get delivered.
That's a different heter. This is a different heter than I'm asking him to do something. Am I asking him to do an easter or not? So if it's not reasonable for him to take the mail Monday, that's totally unreasonable.
It's not because he's...
He worked. He gets paid to work. But they're talking about canceling mail on Shabbos. He might come and take the mail Monday. I don't care. As far as I'm concerned, I can literally not... I don't care if you do it on Shabbos or not on Shabbos. So if I don't care if he does it on Shabbos or not on Shabbos...
Like 24 mail postal service.
Yeah, if you drop off dry cleaning Friday, they're probably going to do it on Shabbos also.
You're mailing it like express.
So let's say, though, I asked the Nachri to travel on Shabbos. I'm asking him to travel express. So there's a greater shayla. The Shvus Yaakov there was also mekel. That's the Shvus Yaakov was mekel by the mailbox, and then the Shvus Yaakov was mekel even by an express. Express, I'm asking the guy to travel on Shabbos. But the question is, he's not traveling just for my package. He's going to take my letter and put it with his whole mail truck. So he's traveling for Rov Nachrim. Just he's adding one letter for Jews. So the other Jews who might send stuff express, but it's the minority. So the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Mem Zayin Sif Hey talks about if a Nachri is going somewhere and he's taking items with him anyway, and then Yisrael asks him to take one more item, so the Shulchan Aruch says that's allowed. He's traveling anyway, that's allowed. And the Magen Avraham disagrees. He says what? He says crazy. The guy's taking an extra letter for you. How is that allowed? So our Sameach has in his. And the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, in his famous discussion of Ribui B'Shiurim, so Rav Sameach writes, he thinks the Magen Avraham and the Shulchan Aruch are arguing whether or not Ribui B'Shiurim, to do a malacha, but in greater quantity, for Jews, he's doing the malacha anyway, he's traveling from point A to point B, but I asked him to take a letter with him. So he's doing the malacha in greater quantity. It's Ribui B'Shiurim. So is Ribui B'Shiurim also when it comes to Amir al-Nachri or not? So the Shulchan Aruch held Ribui B'Shiurim, to do it in greater quantity is not also when it comes to Amir al-Nachri, and the Magen Avraham held that Ribui B'Shiurim would be Aser. There is a precedent for this machlokes in Tosfos already, in Maseches Erevin. The Gemara says in Maseches Erevin that if you have water, we're going to get to this in a minute when we learn Hilchos Mila, that they used to wash, we discussed last time, they used to wash the baby before the Mila and after the Mila in hot water as an antiseptic. So Gemara discusses, let's say we discussed last time if the water spills for after the Mila. What if the water spills for before the Mila? So the Gemara says, well, you could heat up water, agavime. We're allowed to, the mother is still a chole. She's entitled to have water heated up for her on Shabbos. So Gemara says that you should ask the Nachri to heat up water for the mother. While you're heating up water for the mother, ask the Nachri to heat up water for the mother. The mother's a chole. She's not a chole sheyesh bosakana. 7 days after the labor, she's going to be a chole sheein bosakana. But you could ask the Nachri to heat up water for her. Amir al-Nachri is mutter for a chole. And ask the Nachri to add water for the child. So Tosfos there writes, whoa, does that mean Ribui B'Shiurim is always mutter by Amir al-Nachri? So Tosfos has one opinion that yes, whenever you're adding to a malacha, doing the malacha but in greater quantity through Amir al-Nachri, that is allowed. And the other opinion of Tosfos is that it's only mutter by Mila. Mila! It's allowed to add Ribui B'Shiurim by Amir al-Nachri. But the other opinion in Tosfos is that Amir al-Nachri is always mutter Ribui B'Shiurim. So therefore, it could be that an express package, one could also be Mekel. That would be Toli in the Shulchan Aruch and the Magen Avraham. If Ribui B'Shiurim is allowed by Amir al-Nachri, I could ask the Nachri to take the express package to my on Shabbos too, if he's traveling on Shabbos. But the Magen Avraham would not allow it, because he's doing Malacha with my package, even though he's doing it for Rov Nachrim, and Rov of the packages are not Jewish, but he's adding one package for Jews. That would be Ribui B'Shiurim by Amir al-Nachri, which would not be allowed. So the Minchas Yitzchak has a tshuva about the express packages, where he says he thinks he can be Mekel. As long as you're telling the Nachri to travel on Shabbos. Meaning if he's traveling, it's in transit on Shabbos, as they say on the, in transit. If it's in transit on Shabbos, so then it's Ribui B'Shiurim, and we could be Mekel, like the Shvus Yaakov, that Ribui B'Shiurim by Amir al-Nachri is allowed, doing the same halacha, just in greater quantity. However, the Minchas Yitzchak does say, if the guy has to want it delivered on Shabbos, let's say I order something on Amazon, I want it delivered on Shabbos, so then the Minchas Yitzchak says, whoa, now you're asking the Nachri to stop by your house and to carry from the car to your house. It's an Easter of Hotzah. Just on your package. So then there's no Ribui B'Shiurim there. So Minchas Yitzchak says he thinks you can have an express package that's in transit on Shabbos, but not that's being delivered on Shabbos. But his assumption is that there's an Isur of Hotza from the car to your house, which you really can't get around. But if you're in an area where there is an Eruv, and the only malacha that he's doing on your package is that he's stopping the car, but if you the carrying from the car to the house is not an issue, so then one could make the argument, I think one could make the argument that I don't care if the Nachri stops by my house. A Nachri, I don't think it's illegitimate. I mean, maybe you could argue with me. Most UPS trucks don't stop at one time on my block, and that's it for the whole town. They probably stop on this block, he stops on that block. How big, is it really unreasonable to ask the guy to walk from one, it depends what I ordered, but if I ordered a book, is it really unreasonable for him to ask him to walk from the book from three doors down to my house? He has to drive the truck up and stop in front of my house? I don't know if it's so unreasonable. So if he drives the truck, in Minchas Yitzchak's case, there was an Isur of Hotza. In our context, you're not going to have that unless you live in an area where there's no Eruv. But most people live in an area where there is an Eruv. So if he's delivering it, all he's doing is stopping the truck. So I'm not really sure that's called doing malacha for me, unless it's such a heavy package that he couldn't have carried it to my house. But if he could have carried it to my house, I'm not really sure he's doing anything for you. Or similarly, let's say some communities have garbage pickup on Shabbos. So I put out my garbage before Shabbos. But I'm asking the Nachri to pick up my garbage on Shabbos. You know, I put it out Friday. I'm asking him to do a malacha on Shabbos. So one could make the argument that's the same as the mailbox. I don't care when he takes the garbage. He could come Motzei Shabbos. I honestly don't care. So then, okay, that's no different than the mailbox. But if I want him to come on Shabbos, so even if I want him to come on Shabbos, Kubi doesn't have to stop the garbage truck by my house. He could stop one door down, walk over, pick up the garbage, and walk to the truck. It's so unreasonable. I don't think it's so unreasonable. So then, unless I'm throwing out a big couch, but if I'm throwing out regular garbage bags, he could come one, it's not so crazy. So then maybe that would also be allowed. So it could be even an express package, which is going to be delivered on Shabbos. Perhaps there is room to be mako. The Minchas Yitzchak closed in another kula. He says that a lot of times packages don't arrive on time anyway. Even if it says you asked to have it delivered on Shabbos, a lot of times they don't arrive on Shabbos anyway. But nowadays things are a little bit more, they say it's going to come on Shabbos, it probably will come on Shabbos. The Maram Shik says that this issue should also be the same, this same issue might be with regards to subscribing to a newspaper which is printed and delivered on Shabbos. If you subscribe to the Saturday newspaper. So Maram Shik says you're not allowed to subscribe to the Saturday newspaper because they're printing an extra copy for you. So you're violating two Isurim. Number one, they're printing a copy of the newspaper for you. That's extra. It's ksiva. Number two, they're delivering it to you. It's an Isur of Hotza. Or they're stopping the car by you, whatever, the whole story. So the Minchas Maram Shik says, you're not allowed to subscribe to a newspaper which is printed and delivered on Shabbos. The Deber Tzina Rav in the Be'er Moshe writes that if they don't print newspapers special for the Jews, if all the Jews would cancel their subscriptions, they would print no less newspapers. Let's say the Jews in New Mexico City would cancel their subscriptions to the New Mexico City Times, I don't think they'd print less paper. I don't know that much about the demographics of Santa Fe, I'd say. Would they print less papers if the Jews of Santa Fe stopped ordering? Probably not. So then it's okay. But if the Jews would all cancel their subscriptions to the New York Times, they would print less newspapers. They're very aware of the demographics. And that's a big demographic. So then you might not have that out there. But the Be'er Moshe says if they don't print newspapers special for the Jews, they're printing the newspapers anyway, so then maybe you don't have the problem with the printing of the newspaper. But in our context, the Maram Shik and the Be'er Moshe would assert that if you want to subscribe to the New York Times, you're basically asking them to print some newspapers for Jews. They're doing it anyway, but they're doing it in greater quantity, and they're printing newspapers for Jews. However, the Shmir Shabbos Kochotzer quotes from Shlomo Zalman that he says it's not great to subscribe to the Saturday newspaper, but there could be Makom LaHakel. And that is, again, based on the Shochar Aruch, like the Shavus Yaakov, like the express package. I'm asking him to do a malacha, but he's doing that malacha anyway for the Rav Nachrim. I don't think they run a whole run of the newspapers just for Jews. They probably just print more newspapers in the same run. That's logical. So he's doing the same malacha, just in greater quantity. So it's the same shiloh. Does Reba Bishiyurim apply to Amir Lenachri? So if your one is willing to be mako on that with regards to express packages, one can be mako on that too with regards to ordering the newspaper on Shabbos, because he's just printing extra newspapers for the Jews, but they're doing it in greater quantity. And then to have him stop by my house to deliver it, so again, he's driving, roving the newspapers of Fenachrim. He's adding some newspapers for Jews. So that's probably the same idea, Reba Bishiyurim. If you're going to make on Reba Bishiyurim, you make on that too. Ah, he throws the newspaper at my house. He stops. Most of the time, they don't even stop. They just go like this. But even if he stopped by my house, I would argue, he doesn't have to stop by my house. He could stop two doors down and walk the newspaper over to my house. That certainly is reasonable. So the fact that he decides to drive to my house, again, maybe it's a dietary denafshia.
Why is it telling whether they're printing more newspapers for the whole Jewish community?
Because then it's for Jews. If Anachri does malacha for you, I can't benefit either. If Anachri lights a candle for you, I can't benefit either.
Shouldn't you have the same problem by the electric company?
No, because the Jews are a minority. And they're not adding for Jews. They're doing the same, they're running the electric, they're not doing any special malachas for Jews. No, I don't think so. They're not throwing extra logs into the fire. They're just running the same, yeah. You can't distinguish like that. It's not as distinguishable, whereas newspapers is a separate item. Now you're printing more. But I think if you go with, we have to find, you know, we're trying to be Malamed Swiss over here. So, but I think that there is definitely room to be Machmir, but there is definitely room to be Mako, to subscribe to newspaper and have it delivered. If an Ohi does Malacha for you, on Shabbos, so the Gemara says in Maseches Beah, we mentioned, you're not allowed to benefit from it. You're only allowed to benefit on Matzei Shabbos. But even on Matzei Shabbos, it's clear in the Shulchan Aruch that you have to wait b'chdei sheyasu. You have to wait the amount of time that it would have taken to do this this action on Matzei Shabbos. How long would it take? So let's say Nachri bakes for you on Shabbos. He bakes for the Jews. So I'm allowed to benefit from it Matzei Shabbos, however long it would have taken to bake that item Matzei Shabbos. So after, 45 minutes to bake the item, then it would be allowed. Shulchan Aruch says also that if he's part of the Malacha is bringing an item from point A to point B, so then b'chdei sheyasu is how long it takes to travel from point A to point B. So Cheshavas makes that difficult argument, which we discussed earlier. Let's say I want to call a taxi to come take me to the airport on Matzei Shabbos. So we said that's allowed, because the fact that he travels to my house is tangential to what I asked him to do. So Cheshavas says, let's say on Matzei Shabbos I want to take a bus. And the bus gets to my house, Matzei Shabbos. Mamish, the second is over. So he says, I can't get on the bus then, because you have to wait b'chdei sheyasu, because the whole bus route is what I'm asking the guy to do. So I have to wait b'chdei sheyasu, how long would it take to travel from the bus station, the bus depot, to my house? Because that's not called tangential, that's called primary to what I asked him to do. That's really splitting hairs. That's because there he said the whole bus route is part of what you do. This happens a lot in Eretz Israel. That's not b'chdei sheyasu, that's part of what I asked him to do, is to run the bus route. So then you'd have to wait however long it would have taken to get from the bus depot to where I am. I think that one could argue with that Orcha Shabbos.
What do you mean, Phil, if it's done for Rov Gayim? Like Route 4 in New Jersey?
Right, it's only if it's done for Jews. Like if you're zeichet to have a kosher Dunkin' Donuts in your town, so then they bake for Motzei Shabbos. So that's why every Vada Kashrus tells you that you have to wait b'chdei sheyasu in order to go and buy to benefit from the. You can buy the food, by the way, right away. You just can't eat it. So if you ever want a good chomp, as I realized a few years ago, you could run to Dunkin' Donuts right away and beat the rush Motzei Pesach. You just have to wait to eat it b'chdei sheyasu. So anyway, you can't benefit from it, but you can buy it.
When it comes to the newspaper,
yeah.
If you live in a very heavily Jewish neighborhood, say,
right.
Let's say the only people on your block who subscribe to the Times are Jews.
Right.
So then, do the same have to find them outside?
No, so if you have no...
There's an
Eru. But the question would be stopping the car. Yes, then it might not apply. Might not apply.
I mean, that would be a problem for anyone who subscribes to the Saturday
Yes.
Time. I mean, newspaper deliveries don't stop a car. They just kind of chuck it.
They don't stop, yeah. I mean, but packages. Breaking. You'd have the issue with packages. But yeah.
I mean, they're breaking and pushing the pedal.
It's not the greatest. The other way you could get out of it, some posts can say, if Sternbach has this, you could tell the newspaper, I don't want the Shabbos Times. Don't give me Saturday. And if they deliver it anyway, it's on them. One of the Rosh Yeshiva today told me he does that. That he told them, I don't want the Saturday Times, and they deliver it anyway. So that's on them. Yeah, I think if you would call up the Times now and tell them, I don't want the Saturday Times. If you send me the Saturday Times, I'm thinking about canceling my, you're not getting the Saturday. They're not going to deliver it to you. But anyway, those are not the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Shin Zayin, Sif Hey, quotes two opinions with regards to Amir Lenachri B'Mako Mitzvah. So the first opinion in the Shulchan Aruch is there that Amir Lenachri is only mutter in conjunction with another Shvus, a Shvus to Shvus. Is mutter B'Mako Mitzvah. And the first opinion in Shulchan Aruch is that it's only mutter B'Mako Mila. It's a special heter for Mila. And then the Shulchan Aruch quotes a second opinion that says, no, Shvus to Shvus is mutter b'makom any mitzvah. Whenever you have a double derabbanan, it's mutter whatever mitzvah you're talking about. And the Ramah says the minig is l'hakel on that. The Prima Gadim says that the only time you have a heter shvus to shvus makom mitzvah is if one of the derabbanans is amir lenachri. It was a kula and amir lenachri. But now, if I put together kalachar yad, I turn off the light. Kalachar yad with the fat, I turn off kalachar yad, and turning off lights is only derabbanan because the malchus ain't shichel gufa. So then, no, you don't have a heter. It's only if one of the heterim that I'm relying on is amir lenachri. Rabbi Avadia in his sefer the Via Schein, which is a sefer he has just on Hilchos Shabbos, quotes a mitosis in Maseches Ksubis. Rabbi Shechter likes to quote this. And he shows that that's also the many bir halachas that hold like this, and the Chazon Ish assumes like this bistama, that one of them does not have to be amir lenachri. Any two heterim, any two derabbanans, kalach hayad and malchus shenitzri chalaguf also. Anytime you can put two derabbanans together, you would have a heter of shvus to shvus makom mitzvah. That's why we said perhaps you could turn off an alarm that's going off on Shabbos. You could turn it off kalach hayad. Alarms might only be the derabbanan. And doing chachiyad is another derabbanan, or a light in a room, all those stories. But this should also be true. The Rosh Shabbos discusses a very common case to push a stroller in a Carmelis. If you ask the Nachri to push a stroller in a Carmelis, or push a wheelchair in a Carmelis, in order for a guy to get to shul, to push a wheelchair in order for a guy to get to shul, so you have a shvus to shvus. One is a Carmelis, and one is a Amir Nachri, so it should be mutter. If the guy wants to go to shul, b'makom tefila b'tzibur. I don't know. People rely on this if they're stam going to out to eat. You know, I don't know. You know, I don't know if socializing on Shabbos is a makom mitzvah. That's more of a judgment call. But also, if that's what we do every Shabbos afternoon, we have the nachri comes and pushes our stroller. That's again, you institutionalize shvus to shvus, which is a separate issue. Yeah.
If the lights in the room are fluorescent, then you can also turn them on for review.
Beyond the scope of this discussion, I'm not too commenting now on. They have a contemporary halacha about that. Yeah.
So why does Rav Moshe then make true about the air conditioning have to come on to this other aisle? Anytime you have the two, then if the case of the air conditioning is shul.
Ask an achri.
It's also shul to shul's makom mitzvah.
Also shvus to shvus makom mitzvah.
Why does Rav Moshe have to come on to this other aisle over there? Couldn't he just be so partial as
well? It might be. Rav Moshe didn't assume electricity was a shvus. Rav Moshe thought the wires, yeah.
Oh, he thought it's only one.
Rav Moshe said that going in an elevator increases electric flow, and therefore you're over on an Easter on Shabbos. If the elevator's going up anyway, and other people are going in the elevator, Rav Moshe said he can't get in because he increased electricity. Rav Moshe did not have our understanding of electricity.
But once we hold that,
if you're going to say that, yeah.
You
Rav Moshe Simon Reishai and Vav Sif Beis. The Raman Simon Reishai and Vav Sif Beis quotes from the Bala Itor, whose opinion was that Amir Lenachri is mutter b'makom any mitzvah. We obviously do not pass like the Bala Itor. We're not make a one Amir Lenachri b'makom any mitzvah, but the Mishnah Berurah there in the Bir Halacha quote from the Chai Adam that if it's a mitzvah to Rabin, so then we could be make like the Bala Itor. So that's why if an Erev falls down, you could ask a Nachri perhaps to fix it on Shabbos, or Moshe's case with the lights in the shul, if a light goes out in the shul, you could ask the Nachri to turn on the light. Once you have a heter to ask the Nachri to turn on the light, Mitzvah the Rabbin, you could benefit from the light, obviously. I hope that goes without saying. Or you could ask him to turn on the air conditioning, whatever, turn off the air conditioning, but that's the shvus to shvus. But Moshe held turning on the air conditioning might be a chashash deraisa. So you only have one derabbanan of asking the Nachri. All of these things are allowed, b'makom Mitzvah the Rabbin, so we could daven in the shul. Rav Eliashiv has a tshuva in the Kovetz Tshuvas, which is in the binder, with regards to turning on a light in order to learn Torah on Shabbos, for the Beis Medrash to learn. So Rav Eliashiv says, really you should have had a heter mitzvah derabim, but he says since we're so poruts in these issues of Amir Lenachri, he didn't want to be Mako. Rav Shechter has argued in the past that perhaps, in his English article in RJJ on Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, has argued that perhaps what the Mishnah Berurah means, you have a heter b'makom mitzvah derabim, is only tefillah b'tzibur, because it's an obligation that is on the tzibur. Doesn't mean it's an obligation which is on the many, where many people are participating. Let's say Talmud Torah. We're all learning the same base medrash. Many people are participating. Rav Shechter suggested that's not mitzvah derabim. Mitzvah derabim means it's a mitzvah that's mutal on all of us, like davening b'tzibur. So therefore, perhaps, where it's a communal activity, then you have a heter mitzvah derabim. But if it's not a communal activity, it's a bunch of individuals learning next to each other, perhaps you don't have the heter mitzvah derabim. Interesting. So then perhaps turning it on the lights for a base medrash would not be allowed in Medina. Amir Lenachri in Shin Lamed Aleph Sif Yud Ches, the Shulchan Aruch says you're allowed to do Amir Lenachri in order to save Sifrei Kodesh. And Mishnah Berurah there says, and Mishnah Berurah not there, but in Shin Zayin, Sifkan Chav Beis, is so too, Bishar Makom Hefzed, the same Sifrei Kodesh, you could do one Amir one Achri. Any other Hefzed, a Hefzed Gadol, you could be Mekel Shvus to Shvus. What's called a Hefzed Gadol? Someone asked me this the other week. I don't know. The post can say it depends on the fee, Os Enei Hamora. Whatever you think is a Hefzed Gadol. I don't think $5 is a Hefzed Gadol, but you know. People have to figure out what a Hefzed Gadol is. But whatever a Hefzed Gadol is, you could also be Mekel Shvus to Shvus. I just want to go over some few halachas with regards to selling businesses, just because it's complicated. How do you run businesses on Shabbos, and then we'll end. The Mishnah Berurah and Siman Reish Mem Vav, Sivkat and Lamed Aleph, discusses selling, in those days it wasn't selling a business, it was selling an animal. The animal was the business. So he discusses if you have an animal on Shabbos that could produce milk or whatever, it could produce dumalacha, so you could sell the, he discusses selling the animal to an Nachri on Shabbos, much in the same way we do in Mechiras Chametz, and they make the rest alone. If you've ever participated in Mechiras Chametz, the way it works is the Nachri pays $10 or $5 or whatever, or pruta, whatever he pays, and the rest becomes a loan. Then after Pesach, he buys it back, and most of his payment is with the loan. So to here, the way you would do it is you would sell it to an Nachri, and the rest they would make a loan. So the Bi'alach and Siman Reish Mem Vav, Sif Hei, quotes a big machlok saposkin, was this a valid heter? Some were happy about it, some were very unhappy about it. Why were they unhappy about it? So number one was because of a Maris Ayin. It looks like it's still your business. Rabbi Neuberger mentioned this. Still looks like it's your business. And number two, it's a harama on the Yisurei Shabbos. Ah, but we're making a harama, a legal fiction by Pesach. Yisakaris. Why is it so different by Shabbos? We can't be Mekel with Harama. So the poskim say that Shabbos is different. Shefta makes this argument also in the Big Be'etzon, that perhaps only Mekel by Harama if it's to get around the Losasei. We're getting around by Yiroh, by Yimotzei. So you can get around the Losasei. Shabbos is a mitzvah sasei of Shabboson. So we don't engage in a Harama whenever there's a mitzvah sasei that's involved. You don't get around mitzvah sasei. We want to do mitzvah sasei. So since it's a mitzvah sasei on Shabbos of Shabboson, or Shvisas Behemta, whatever, so we shouldn't use a harama to get around an asay. Most poskim, I'd say the majority of poskim are at least on the record as being opposed to this practice. Ramosha has a tshuva about it. The Chalkas Yaakov, the Minchas Yitzchak, the RCA has a shtar mechivra for Shabbos, or business for Shabbos, which they'll send if you're a rav. They'll send you the. You're a member of the RCA, so then they'll send you the, they don't put it on their website. You know, they have on their website a lot of documents. This is not one of them. You have to ask them for it, and they'll send it to you, but it comes with a cover letter that says, you should know, Rabbi Soloveitchik was very vehemently opposed, I think, to selling a business on Shabbos. That's probably the Rav of Shitasa, that the Rav was against all haramos. See, the Rav didn't sell Chametz Gomer, so he was against any harama that gets around the, he was not a fan of haramas to begin with, but he right there it says he was very opposed to it. Shechter quoted the Divrei Chaim, the Tzanzer was a chassidim by and large a mekel on this. So the Tzanzer was mekel, and then his son, the Divrei Cheskel, the Shinever, was opposed to it. So Shechter, I don't know how he knows it, but he said that the Shinever, was opposed to it, so the Divrei Chaim never let him in the house afterwards, because he held it was too big of a chumrah, and he had to climb through the window. He wasn't allowed to come in the door. When I come in the house, he climbed through the window. Like people do this though, rabbis, but people only do it on business that has to run on Shabbos. Where do you have a business that has to run on Shabbos? So if you have a nursing home, is a traditional Jewish business. So you have a nursing home, or if you own a factory, so then you have these shiras. Some big tzaddikim, they shut down the factory on Shabbos, a very nice thing. But nursing homes are hard to shut down on Shabbos. So if you have a nursing home, you have to figure out a way around it. So they write a shtar mechira, and even though Rabbi Neuberger said you can't accept their profits, they've worked around it. I have a shtar mechira. Someone who owns a nursing home, he showed me the shtar mechira. The shtar mechira, but they have a very creative. It's very creative, but they worked out that he should be able to get the profits because the profits come out of the sale price, and then at the end of the year they undo the sale, they sell it back, and they do it every Pesach. They get so good to sell the chametz, they sell the business to same nachri. And they've worked it out how they could accept the profits, and they pay the bills just like regular, and there's no. No issues. So then that's it's a real harama. So there's a Rav here, though, Rav Chaim Cohen, on the other side of the Heights, I think, who printed an article in the Yeshurun Journal, where he argues against, he says there's a lot of problems, as Rabbi Neuberger mentioned as well, there's a lot of problems with such a mechira. They worked it out in the Lashon, it looks like a shtar mechira's chametz, but and a lot of problems with it. So therefore they suggested, Rav Chaim Cohen suggested other heterim for the nursing home, other ways to go about how to structure the business that you shouldn't have to make a shtar mafir, which we'll get to in a second. The Shulchan Aruch says though, hey, Sif Aleph, if you have a shutfis, if you can make an enough for your shutif, that's the best data. I've asked around, by the way, to the Rabbanim in the yeshiva. I have yet to find one who has done a mechira for Shabbos. Rav Shelton never did it. I've asked around. Rabbi Black told me he did one, but it was not a mechira. It was a real shutfis. He says, a real shutfis. He said, what do you want from me? Real shutfis. A real shutfis is that if the nachri is a real shutif, so then the Shulchan Aruch says that that is allowed to run the business on Shabbos, as long as you make it clear from the very beginning whose days are whose. That, you know, the Nachri works on Shabbos and I work on the other days. And if they both work together, so the Ramah says there, Reish Mem Hesif Aleph, that they both work together, so you can run the business Kanohog on Shabbos. Because then the Nachri is the one who's running the business. And the Nachri takes his share of the profits from that. Because then the Nachri is Adaita Denav Sheyavad. He can't tell the Nachri to stop coming to work on Shabbos. So he's allowed to run the business. So if you have a shutfis, the workers, Aruch HaShulchan says, they all work for the Nachri on Shabbos. You'd have to work out how to split up the profits. That's why this is a difficult option, really, because some hold, you really have to be, the guy has to be a real shutif. If he's not a real shutif, like sometimes people will come up with an idea, they'll give the foreman of the factory a 1% stake in it, a 0.00001% stake in the company. So that's not a real shutif. Some hold he has to have a seventh, at least a seventh, if Shefter held like this, he has to have a seventh of a stake in the company. If he has a seventh, because that's Shabbos. If he has 1/7, Shabbos, so then, okay, you can say on Shabbos, you're working just for him. If he has a shutfis, it's not 1/7 of the company, it's a hard sell. So basically what the only real option that's left, and this is what Chaim Cohen discussed at length, is this option. And that is to work with a kabonos type arrangement. The Mishnah says in Masechet Shabbos that if I give, and this is the last topic we're talking about. The Mishnah says in Masechet Shabbos that if I give a nachri something to do bekabonos on Shabbos, as opposed to a pu'ula, not that I pay him by the hour, I pay him by the job. If I give him skins to work, or I give him kalim to fix, or clothes to wash by the dry cleaner, and he decides to do it on Shabbos, that's on him. That's a daite denafshe of it. Like I could drop my clothes off at the cleaners. I could drop my car off at the mechanic. He decides to fix it on Shabbos. That's on him. Why? Probably because that's a daite denafshe of it. Or the Ranza, all the different svaras. I'm not benefiting from that which he did on Shabbos. He could have done it during the week. There are two limitations to this heter of kablonos. The first limitation is, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, Reish Nun Beis Sif Beis, you can't tell him to work on Shabbos. If I tell the dry cleaners, I need it Motzei Shabbos, then you'd have no heter of kablonos. There's no heter. Because then I'm telling him to work on Shabbos. It's not a daite. It is still a daite denaf sheyava, because he's doing the work for himself, but it looks like he's doing it for me. I benefited from that which he did on Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch also talks about this. In Reishon and Beis, the Shulchan Aruch says, it's only if I give it, these rules are hard to get down, but the Shulchan Aruch says, it's only if I give it to him with enough time before Shabbos that he could have done it before Shabbos. Meaning it's not good enough that I'm not going to pick it up till next Wednesday. He has to have, if I drop it off Erev Shabbos, he has to have enough time to do it Erev Shabbos. So the Ramah, I'm sorry, the Shulchan Aruch later on, Reish Mem Zayin Sif Aleph, says that's only if I'm not Kotzei Tzchar. If we make up a payment, then I could drop it off Matzei Shabbos Im Chashecha, it's allowed. As long as I don't tell him to work on Shabbos, it's allowed if we made up a payment. That's why you can mail a letter on your way to shul. I'm dropping it off Friday, and he doesn't have time to do it right before Shabbos, but we're kotzei tzchar. We all know how much he's getting paid. Dry cleaner too, a mechanic too. That's like kotzei tzchar. We all know whatever it's going to cost, you're going to pay it. You're not going to handle for the price afterwards. Figure out if he's getting paid or not. So as long as you're kotzei tzchar, you could drop it off on Friday, even if there isn't time to do it before Shabbos, as long as I don't tell him to work on Shabbos. But if I tell him to work on Shabbos, that's more difficult. There's another limitation to kablonis, even if I don't tell him to work on Shabbos. And that's mentioned by the Shulchan Aruch, Reish Mem Dalet Sif Aleph, in the name of the Tosfos, that if it's in my house, or it's Mefursim that it's Shel Yisrael. Rav Shecht always used to give the example of Dr. Lamb's car. He would say, if Dr. Lamb would drop off his car at the mechanic, the guy could not work on it on Shabbos, because the license plate said, YU1. So he said, is Richard Joff YU2? I think he does. Anyway, if everyone knows that it's yours, and we're going to see it at the mechanic over here, we're all going to know that that's Dr. Lamb's car, so then you can't do it. Or if it's in your house, let's say a guy has a contractor building a house. So can the contractor work? I'm not telling him to work on Shabbos. He works whenever he wants. The contractor decides to come Shabbos. So every guy who's building a house, everyone uses a contractor. So then, can the guy work on Shabbos? The answer is no, because he is. It's in my house. We all know that it's in my house. You don't have to have kablanos when it's in my house. The Be'er Halacha, though, quotes my big machlokes between Tosas and Iran. Why, if it's in my house, or is it meforsim that it's mine, is there no heter of kablanos? Tosas' opinion was, because not everybody will know that he's big kablanos. Meaning, kablanos is really a heter always. The Nachri is taking on a job for himself that I'm paying him to do. It doesn't apply on Shabbos, because it's like I'm telling him to do it on Shabbos, like I'm telling him to work on Shabbos. It doesn't apply if it's in my house. So why doesn't it apply if it's in my house? So Tosfos says, because there, people might think he's a Shechir Yom. People don't know that it's B'Kablonos. And the Ran says, no, because Kablonos looks a lot like Shechir Yom. So they answered it, just like Shechir Yom. You're not allowed to tell a guy to work for you on Shabbos, if I'm doing a Malacha. So too, I'm not allowed to ask a guy to put up Sheetrock on Shabbos. So too, if it's B'Kablonos. And they answered it because it looks too much like Shechir Yom. So there's a big, the Be'er Halacha quotes there from the Note of Yehuda, there's a big difference between the Tosas and the Ran with regards to a town, which is the same as our context, where everybody works with a contractor. Nobody hires their own workers to work on the house. Unless he's a contractor. Everyone uses a contractor. So now who's going to walk by my house and see them building a Shabbos and think I'm paying them to put up Shibach? No one's going to think that. So then according to Tosas, we should allow a contractor to work on your house on Shabbos nowadays. But the Be'er Halacha says, according to the Ran, there'd be no heter, because they asked the kablanos in your house on Shabbos, because it looks a lot like a Shechir Yom, and not because it's a Maris Ayin to a Shechir Yom, it's just too similar to a Shechir Yom. So how do we paskin? Do we paskin like the Tosfos or the Ran? So the Note of Yehuda wanted to be maker like Tosfos. According to the Note of Yehuda, you could have a contract to work on your house on Shabbos. Ramosha said, as a tshuva, where he thinks also we should pass Meikra Adin, that you could have enough work on your house. If you're building a home, you could have it work on Shabbos, because it's Kablonis, which he doesn't have to do it on Shabbos. It's in my house. But in my house, the only reason it's us is because people might think it's a Shechir Yom, but in our days, nobody hires a Shechir Yom. Everyone hires a Kablon. So it should be allowed. The Chayadim was Machmir, but Ramosha writes Meikra Adin, it should be allowed. But Ramosha says we shouldn't do it. It shouldn't be done. Ramosha said, since Meikra Adin is allowed, you can let the guy work on Chalamoid. That was a Moshe's compromise. So you see that. That's, I'd say, the Psak, that's what I've seen most commonly. Most people know if you're building a home, we should all be Zarech HaVakach. You're building a home, so then you can't have the guy build on Shabbos, but on Chol HaMoed, you could let the guy, let the contractor come on Chol HaMoed. But not on Shabbos. So now back to the nursing home. This is the last thing. Back to the nursing home. So the possible avenue with the nursing home is to, what you could do is hire a kablon to run the whole nursing home. Hire a guy who's paid to run the nursing home. And tell all the workers that they work for the kablon. Let the guy, a manager, manage the nursing home, and he's a kablon. Whoa! But you have two problems. Number one, I'm telling him you have to work on Shabbos. Number two, it says my name, everyone knows I'm the owner of this establishment. So what do I get by hiring a manager who's a kablon over the whole thing? So the Shulchan Aruch, Simin Reish Mem Dalet, Siv Vav. This is Rechaim Kohn's idea. Simin Reish Mem Dalet, Siv Vav, quotes in the name of the Maram, that it's Mutter B'Mokom Hefsid. B'Mokom Hefsid, one is allowed to rely on a Kablonos, even though I tell him to work on Shabbos, and even though it's in my house. If it's B'Mokom Hefsid, where I'm not going to have my whole business, I can't have a nursing home unless it's open on Shabbos, so B'Mokom Hefsid, we would be Mekel. The Maram was discussing there a case of a guy whose job was to be a tax collector, Nebuch. And he, how's he going to collect taxes on Shabbos? So what he did was, this is the Maram's case, he hired a kablon to go collect for him. He hired a guy whose whole job he was paid to collect taxes, not by the hour, he was paid by the job. So even though I was telling him to work on Shabbos, and everyone knew he was my kablon, nonetheless, the Shulchan Aruch is makel b'makom hefsed. I won't be able to collect taxes at all unless I collect on Shabbos too. So too, the poskim say perhaps over here also you could be makel by a business. Our Moshe says lost profits are the same as a loss. So if I'm going to lose a ton of profits, I'm not going to be able to have the whole business in the first place unless you're open on Shabbos. So perhaps a better answer than selling the nursing home would be to hire a kablon, a manager who's paid to manage the nursing home, not by the hour, to manage the whole thing. That might be a better answer. Okay. Who's this?